Have any idea what our competition provides their listening public with? This is what our competition plays from sun up until sundown.
Cat-town races?
Records. They play records. The same records you could play on your gramophone at home. And this is what we give our audience.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The famous and unknown. The professional and amateur announcer.
Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
My greetings to both of you.
Radio gods. The Don and Mike Show. Copyright 1997. CBS Radio.
You people never cease to amaze me.
All rights reserved. Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation, and distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
As you all know, this show of ours is a sort of catch-as-catch-can affair with everything up for grabs.
Our skits don't even rehearse. They just audition and then go off.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
My name's Charlie Strang Stablag. Is this Barney?
Oh, it sure is.
Barney, say I love you, Charlie. Say I love you, Charlie.
I love you, Charlie. Ah! All my friends out here. Charlie?
Yes, Barney.
Are you coming to the show?
Yes, Barney. I'll be sitting in the front row.
I'll be sure and warn all the security guards.
I love you, Barney.
The Don and Mike Show.
Would you identify yourself?
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
I'm gay.
There's a radio station in the middle of the road all across the nation. The signal goes. A place for guys on the radio. The old Rob Bay and the new Nick Joe. Bringing more moves than outright van life. Nerds on the news keep us in the know. Millions of fans, just clap your hands. Just clap your hands. Reading and Bart and a shepherd named Quink. Strip trivia, you can smell the stink. 4 hours a day is a small price to pay. We're rats on crack and we like it that way. Throwing out props from Elvis to Ezo. South of the border, never seen such a show. Millions of fans, just clap your hands, just clap your hands. Just two fat girls and a microphone. Just two fat girls and a microphone. Just two fat girls and a microphone.
That was a good drum,
Ray. Now Donnie G is the leader of the show. The Jack King comes cause of Do Re Go. Then Buka, cheese, and dietary coke. Flashing and sound from coast to coast. Geronimo knows how to kick the ratings. Lots of news and yellow toenail shaving. Larry King used to have less hair than Don and Mike Show.
It's way up there.
Now there's another guy that I think you should know. He does more bass than a megaphone. Ringing out Charlie's doing Stabilac. I laughed so hard that nearly had a heart attack. Now Michael Mara is the brains of the show. He's the college guy and he lets Donnie know. The world's biggest hypocrites and they don't care. The Don and Mike Show.
It's way up there.
Just two fat fellas and a microphone. Just two fat fellas and a microphone. Just two fat fellas and a microphone.
Welcome to the Rock, gentlemen.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hello, RJ.
Hello, D. Hello, M.
Howdy, RJ.
How many you got today, RJ?
Two for a good-looking Friday.
All right, boy. Let's hear them.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Markey and all the ships at sea. You'll be drawn to this show the way Tom Wopat is drawn to phone sex. The Don and Mike Show.
And I'm sure he identifies himself as Tom Wopat, as we heard yesterday.
Would you identify yourself?
Would you identify yourself?
I'm Tom Wopat.
From TV's Dukes of Hazzard. What are you wearing? Okay, here we go, Rob, with the open that will catapult us to yet another successful record-setting show.
Constantly walking the fine line between retarded and the violently insane. The Don and Mike Show.
That line's mighty blurry. Thank you, RJ. Please, Get out of here. And thank you for listening. Coast to coast and nationwide via Bestwood Bud Entertainment, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it the Cotton Picking Don and Mike Show.
How do, citizenry?
And welcome to the Gabfest for a Super Friday, everybody. And there's our super buddy in the next room.
Hi, super buddy.
There's a radio's Buzz Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi. And Charlie Broyhill doing a super job.
Oh, always everybody's super. Super duper Friday, Mike. Super. Everybody's super on Super Duper Friday.
The goddamn Super Duper Friday. Expediliacious Friday. Super califragilistic expialidocious type Friday.
It's a great Friday.
Yeah. I had a conversation. Listen, I can't talk about the conversation.
You don't want to. I know you're dying to.
I got,
you can't.
I got something on the brain, and it's taking my brain over right now.
I believe I can track with you here, though,
yeah,
and tell
you
that the conversation you had, even though I was not privy to it,
you were there in spirit, Mike,
has put me in the same mood that it has put you in.
I'm in a very goofy mood. Give me a moment, and I will calm myself.
Calm myself.
You know, I occasionally do that yoga thing. I said I can never get my legs in the right position.
You do yoga?
Well, I meditate. You
really?
Know,
yeah.
I sit and I do the hands like that, and you know, clear the mind. We try that now, right here with you, Mike.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What are you doing? The meditation is complete.
You know, I'd like that one taken out of the rotation. Uh-huh. That's the one fart that can screw up a gag. Because
yeah.
It's got the other voice on it. It's got the guy going...
Yeah. It doesn't fit with the other ones.
You know, you want to sound like you're really... You want to sound like you're deep and your REMs and you got your eyes closed and your eyeballs are bugging out and you're going...
See, that
there
works.
You go.
I understand.
There you go.
Get that one. Get rid of that one, boys.
All right, fix that, please, Charles. My mind is now cleansed of the matter of which I have been sworn to secrecy on.
Good.
And we will continue with the big show. Today we have the return of the 1-900 medical information line,
mm-hmm.
Finally. We play Low Budget Yabarni today.
All right.
Chuck Stossel, your love muscle on movies. And from the Fox NFL show... Howie Long.
Howie Long, a man who is very serious about football. The last time we had him on the program, he was a very serious guy. Who knows, perhaps this time we'll tickle his funny bone.
Pretty boy, Howie Long.
Yeah,
pretty boy, movie star, Howie Long.
Yeah, we have to keep it in control when we're talking about Howie Long. Let that just control that incredible jealousy we have.
Well, he's good looking, and
He was a tough guy,
and he's got a movie deal. He did a movie with John Travolta. We happened to see him down at the Super Bowl when he had his handlers pushing everybody out of the way with the flash bulbs lighting everywhere. Oh, here comes Howie Long! It's Howie Long.
And Don and I were in the corner of the party saying, "You walked in." To the party like you were walking on to a yacht.
And meanwhile, now, what kind of justice is there in the world when we're at the Super Bowl doing our show this past year down in New Orleans, and Howie Long walks in, and he is surrounded by guards, and they're actually clearing a path for him, and yet no more than 15 feet away, there is Marty Schottenheimer
right.
begging for anybody, please recognize me. I'm the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was a situation that really made you ask, where's the justice? Where is the justice in the world when Howie Long is pushing people out of the way and Marty Schottenheimer sitting over there looking, you know, saying, love me. Please, for God's sakes, love me.
It just as easily could be the other way. With Marty Schottenheimer, the star of action movies with John Travolta doing that stirring commentary and Howie, well, no, I guess it couldn't work out the other way.
Absolutely not.
I guess everything is set in stone. We are 6 days away now from the first ever Don and Mike Underpants Open, our big outdoor miniature golf tournament, which is going to be next Thursday.
Oh, boy.
I believe, is it May 8th? I don't have a calendar in front of me. I think it's next Thursday, May 8th, and we're going to have a whole bunch of people playing miniature golf in their underpants and in sometimes less, shooting for the grand prize of $1,000 with a Hooters girl on every hole.
Okay.
And we will start filling out the field on today's show. We're going to have many categories, although everybody's going to be competing in the same tournament for the lowest score.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a group like they do on the PGA Tour, a senior group.
Right.
where we're going to get some of our older fans out there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a young group.
Good.
And then we're going to have the middle group. And mm-hmm. then we'll break people off into the classifications and the various categories that we are often want to do.
And, of course, every category has their individual flight winner. And then, of course, there's the grand champion who gets to wear the green underwear.
Yeah, the green boxers. And we've decided they're going to be green boxers. Mm-hmm. There was some discussion as to whether they should be green briefs or boxers.
Oh, I think you have to go with boxers.
Well, we're thinking about crowd safety, Mike, so we've gone with green boxers.
Are you going to be wearing briefs? I think I've asked you this question before. I know that's your underwear of choice.
Yes, it is, but I'm afraid, as I've mentioned on the show before, I'm a proud butt sweater, Mike. And I'm afraid that on a hot early May day...
Oh, yes.
If I were to wear my traditional underpants,
right,
there's a very good chance that they would be sticking to my behind the way that your leg does on a vinyl car seat on a hot day when you have to pry it off.
Yeah, an SMW, a self-made wedgie.
So I'm undecided as to the type of undergarment I'll be wearing next Thursday.
I have decided that I will be wearing the layered look. Yeah. I will be wearing either two pairs of different types of underwear or perhaps briefs with the boxers on top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have Mr. Happy out in the sunshine on it, you know, for any reason whatsoever. And, you know, with boxers, and I'm a boxer man, you do have that. Unlike briefs, the door to boxers occasionally is want to fly open.
But now, who am I? And I certainly don't want to spend the better part of a show discussing your thing.
Yes.
But you've mentioned before,
uh-huh.
and incidentally, you've brought the name of all good Irishmen on
yeah,
this
I know.
Show down a little bit.
Well, see, that's my own insecurity. It makes me feel better to say it's an Irish thing.
Because you claim you have a small thing.
Yes.
And I say to you, the fine gentleman from Virginia,
yes,
if indeed you have a small thing,
right,
then maybe you wouldn't have to worry about it coming out.
Au contraire, mon frère. You see, the smallness is why it just might, you know, look out like a little chickadee once in a while, just wanting to see the sun, you know, a tiny, a little bird, a little turtle poking its head out into the sunshine. That's even more. If I was, say, endowed like some of, like, for example,
like me,
like Don Johnson was the example I was going
to. Or like me.
Or like you.
Any of the well-hung guys in Hollywood. Me, Bruce Willis, Pee Wee Herman, all those guys that were on that list. Well, yes, then you might have a problem.
So that's why, you know, that's the embarrassment. And also, you know, the butt sweating factor, too. Being a butt sweater myself, I want the butt sweat to be inside the first layer, you know. Well, you know, we have to wear our underwear in this thing, and we can't expect people to come down and golf in their underwear without us wearing underwear.
We're not wearing our underpants as well.
And I think I'll wear a nice pair of sandals as well.
Well, we all thank you for that. 6 days away, and we'll start picking the categories and start lining people up for this as the show gets closer.
Very good.
Now, you know, when I called you the fine gentleman from Virginia?
Yes.
That's something that I picked up from those English debates that they have.
Parliamentary procedure in Parliament.
Sometimes, hard to believe, even I can't find something that's mind-numbing enough for me on television. So I turn on C-SPAN,
mm-hmm.
and I'll watch these guys argue. They might as well be wearing the powdered wigs.
Right.
So I've been a fan of watching British politics on TV.
It's great to watch. It's so different than our system, and it's really fascinating when they have their debates.
And last night, I'm watching the election results come in.
Right.
And this guy, John Major, he's going down.
Yeah.
He's losing to this young, yuppie-type guy.
Yeah, it's been equated that John Major is like the Republican president, and the Democratic challenger is unseating him.
As I have also mentioned many times before on the show, I'm a stupid man, mm-hmm. and I know nothing about how things work and even whose party is for what. All I know is I'm watching this.
Right.
And besides the fact that I'm, of course, amused because they talk funny.
Right.
They've got a weird way that they're announcing who the winners are.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like six guys up on a stage. Okay?
And this is cool. I didn't see this.
And the guys who are like from the Labor Party,
right,
which is either the equivalent of the Republicans or the Democrats, they have on red flowers in their lapels.
Uh-huh.
The guys from the other party, they have yellow flowers in their lapels.
That's the Conservative Party,
that's right?
Right.
So now you've got six guys up there, and all of them running for one position.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it like a beauty contest. That all six guys are standing up there, and then a guy stands up and he says, "My lord, here's the winners." And he goes through and he reads each guy's name and the amount of votes that each guy got.
Right.
And it gets really embarrassing Because they don't do it like in the order of from smallest to biggest.
Right.
As far as the vote total goes. They just do it in the order that these guys are standing on stage. So they go, Charles Broyhill, 276 votes. And, you know, there's a... like a smattering of applause, and the guy's stand up. The guy gets 200 votes. Yeah. He's like got a sheepish look on his face. Like
he's out of there, right?
Like, yeah, it's obvious. Then the next one, they go, Mr. Buzz Burbank, 24,877. Now he's standing next to the guy who got 200 votes.
Right.
And it's quite obvious that the guy with 24,000 votes, he's going to be your winner.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Now, is this the big guy? Is this the prime minister?
This was not the prime minister, although they did the same thing with the prime minister.
Right.
They put him up on a stage with John Major.
Okay.
Where they announced who had what
vote.
Wow,
they do it that way where they're both sitting there?
It was great, like a beauty pageant. And they go through
they did it like that in this country.
They go through all six guys for this one office that I was watching, and then the one guy who wins... they ask the rest of the guys to leave the stage. So it's just the one guy who's standing up there by himself.
That is so cool. I have never seen that or even heard of that. That is very neat.
So anyway, I have a shout-out to my British brothers, and please let me say, by Lux, to all those in Britain. That made for some good television last night during whatever the show is that's on after Jerry Seinfeld.
What is that one? Is that the one with Sharon...
Yes.
Sharon Lawrence?
Fired Up.
P.U.
Yeah.
And that Jerry Seinfeld last night.
Yeah.
You know, it had its good points, and it had its points that I didn't dig.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the role of George Steinbrenner on that show.
No. They had more George Steinbrenner?
But you can't go wrong with George Costanza taking Babe Ruth's uniform out of the lobby, wearing it, and spilling strawberries on it because he wanted to get fired by the Yankees. Then he took the championship trophy, and he tied it to the back of his car, and he drove around the parking lot while he was dragging it. Well, on his bullhorn, he was saying, "This is George Costanza! I hate you, Mr. Steinbrenner!"
So he got the axe yesterday, huh?
No. He didn't.
Oh, he didn't get the act.
Too incompetent to be fired from the Yankees.
He didn't get fired. I don't know the rest of the show. The rest of the show was weird with Kramer and Newman planning a party for the millennium and a whole nutty contrived thing with Jerry being on some girl's speed dial.
Right. I wouldn't know because I was knee-deep in The Shining last night watching the final episode. And watching The Shining, you're a big fan of the movie of The Shining, right?
Fantastic.
I finally realized at the end of the movie why Stephen King was so mad at Stanley Kubrick, who directed the original movie. In the end, you know how he's chasing him through the maze?
Well, isn't there a happier ending?
It's a totally happy ending.
In the TV movie?
The father dies, but the father dies trying to save the family, his family, the mother and daughter, from the Overlook Hotel. And he actually goes down and he makes sure that the boiler blows up, destroying the hotel. That's how it ends. And then they cut to the future, where the kid's graduating from high school, and as he walks off, the spirit of his father materializes, and it's kind of actually, it was so surprising, because I thought...
A feel-good ending, Mike?
It was a feel-good ending, and that, no wonder, if that's the... See, I never read the book, The Shining. You read the book, The Shining,
yes.
Right? The book has the happy ending, too.
Not quite that happy, but it's more happy than the movie, legendably.
So that's why, apparently, and Stephen King, once again, has to put himself in the movie. He was the band
leader. He's a handsome man, Mike. He wants to share that with everybody.
Yeah, you know, I could do without that. I really, that's the only thing I could do without. But it was very good to see a totally different ending, and I'm glad I stuck with it.
I switched over after Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Before I went to the BBC Politics. And I saw the guy who was playing the dad.
Yeah.
In the Jack Nicholson role.
Right.
And it was the guy from Wings. And I'm watching that, and I'm thinking, what? You know, you might as well have got Harry Anderson to play that role, or Urkel, or somebody.
I agree 100% with that. You know, you can't compare him to Jack Nicholson, who did such a great job in the original Shining.
A guy from Wings, one of the cutie pies from Wings.
But the story and the ending was made it worthwhile, and of course, then you throw in Rebecca De Mornay, and that was it was interesting. It was a totally different twist towards the end. But he, you know, anytime he got crazy, I was still going back to, you're right, he's the pretty boy from Wings.
You might as well have gone with the guy that drives the cab on Wings.
Now,
you know, the guy with the accent. Yes,
I'm going crazy. I'm going to take the croquet mallet and hit you in the head.
I want to get a plug in here. Real fast, if I could, tomorrow morning, I will be running in a 5K race.
Good for you.
The YWCA Race Against Racism.
Yeah. Good.
And that's in Washington, D.C. And if you'd like to come out, it's 5K, which is like 3 and a three-tenths miles or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you can beat me. I will be shooting for the colossal time of 30 minutes.
Right.
To try to run these three-plus miles in 30 minutes. And if you'd like to, it's for a good cause. The phone number 202-828-7058.
Excellent.
And the YWCA asked me out there, and I like doing that stuff, so I will be out there. And I don't know. It's in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not sure exactly where the race is. If it's in a bad part of D.C., I bet I run faster than 30 minutes. But I don't know where it is. Call the YWCA.
That's a piece of cake run for you, Ray. I mean, you've done the longer ones. And,
yes, I've done the longer ones, but... For guys like us,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about running 3 miles in 30 minutes, running a 10-minute mile,
yeah.
that seems like a Herculean effort.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go out there, and there will be nothing but people who really seriously run.
Right.
You know, like really super skinny people.
Yeah, super skinny people that at the end of the race, they may be thin, and they may be svelte, and they may run real well, but right. at the end, they all smell.
And, I smell plenty, Mike.
Do you smell, too?
Oh, Jesus, I smell. Oh,
man, I did one of those things, and, of course, I walked half of it, and then I got to the end, and there were people, oh, man. And like, a lot of that Bengay stuff they put on, too.
Well, they will mock you,
mm-hmm.
not to your face, but right. I know that they're mocking you.
Right.
Well, at least that's how I feel. When I cross the finish line, and I see them there, the last 5K race that I ran, and I think I did it in, like, 28 minutes, and I was real proud of myself, and as I came tugging around that last corner, I saw people who had finished the race, changed their clothes,
mm-hmm.
had a meal, sitting down in their folding chairs, reading the newspaper. And they give you a look when you cross the finish line as,
right.
Well, 30 minutes. Oh, golly. Golly. And when you hear the first time of the guy who's won the race, and you realize that you're not even to the one-mile marker yet.
And he's finished.
And already there's some guy who's finished the race in some incredibly... Or maybe you're just past the marker. All I know is that I've felt like quitting many times.
Some guy with the body of a praying mantis that has crossed the finish line in record time.
But I want to thank them for inviting me out, and I will see anybody who wants to participate out there tomorrow morning. And a different development in the letter from the girl in California.
Don't tell me it's turned very ugly.
Well, I don't know what to think, Mike.
Okay.
There's this girl in California who sends letters,
mm-hmm.
letters that aren't overtly dirty, but they do the job for me.
Yeah.
And
they do the job for everybody on this show.
She sends pictures, and everybody likes the pictures she sends. And a couple of days ago, I read her latest letter. She has a fantasy. I say she, thinking really in my mind, even more so now,
mm-hmm.
that it's a guy.
Right.
Oh, it's a big guy who's writing these letters to us.
And these pictures are just a fraud?
Well, I'll tell you why I think this now. And I'm willing to be proven wrong by her name is Stacy.
Stacy.
She's been writing letters and saying that she wants to have a three-way with me and my wife.
That's right.
Now, of course, this is never going to happen, mm-hmm. but, you know, a guy can dream, can he? So we've been getting the letters, and she sends us a picture with every letter. A picture of her, always in the same pose.
Right.
On a toilet, taking off part of her clothes.
Yeah, the last one, she was almost totally naked.
And I mentioned that these all look like they're posed, like they're something you could get from the Internet or buy from some sleazy surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, send us a different-looking picture.
Right.
And I'm really wondering if this is really a girl or not. So we got this letter today. It's dated April 29. Dear Don and Mike, my dearest Don, thank you for your kind words earlier today. We listen to you and Mike on our headsets when we are up in the air. I mentioned that she works at an airplane.
Ah, okay.
You make a tough, sometimes depressing job a little easier. Since I am not seeing anyone at this time, it's tough to come up with new special photos to send you.
Mm.
The couple that I had from the bathroom were taken by my ex-boyfriend, who I call Mr. Idiot. How many special photos of Frida do you have handy?
Mm.
Well, I don't have any special photos of Frida handy.
Okay.
I have one other photo that I've attached for the boys in the back room.
She's, she doesn't let us down.
No?
Since I am out of photos, I can enlist a volunteer to shoot a couple of new shots for you or possibly send you one of my videos. Anything special you want to see? And yes, I have a specialized request.
Very good.
So I will know that I am not being fooled here. Why don't you tell me the position, outfit, and location, and I'll prove to you it's no mail order email hot shot. Can you ensure a degree of confidentiality if I send you one of my videos? No, I cannot. We have many places that Frida would love to stretch out in the buff to eliminate her tan lines.
Mm.
I know several nice nude beaches and several nature springs. Yesterday, I spent 45 minutes over lunch lying topless atop a large hospital on a helicopter port in the Bay Area. Picture you and I rubbing nice warm lotion on Frida's soft curves. Why don't the two of you hop out here for a quick weekend? Since you did not like the article I sent to you on pleasing a woman, I assume you're an expert. I love to hear that. Take me, I'm yours. What topics drive you wild? You might enjoy something new.
Constant correspondence from this woman, and I love it.
Love always, Stacy. P.S. When I send you these photos, are you the one who opens it, or does it go through your staff? Well, now that's a good question. Rob Spiewak, who's a very busy bad boy,
yes,
opens our mail. However, Stacy, because you send them in these envelopes that we're instantly able to recognize.
Easily recognizable.
He does not open them.
He gives you the pleasure of doing that yourself.
So, she sent a picture.
She did.
Now, this is where, and she sent some nice nasty articles again.
Good.
You know, stuff about sex with, like, joy of sex pictures.
That's that private lives thing that she likes.
She sent one here. Or she's got a picture where she thinks that that woman is Frida, and that is me, and then that is her. Oh, but look what she's doing. I mean...
Does she want to do that to you?
I don't like the butt. Stacy, if you're listening, I realize it's just a little funny correspondence that we're having here, but...
I don't like the butt. That's going to be on the statue of you that they're going to erect outside the building here.
That'd be quite the erection. I don't like the butt.
I don't like the butt.
So she sent this picture.
Okay.
Now, first off, all the pictures that she sent us before have her, she appears to be like a redhead.
Mm-hmm.
This time, the hair is blonde.
Yeah.
Okay. And as you look, it's maybe the picture of her butt. It looks like she's wearing a pair of pantyhose, but the left cheek has panties on them, and the right cheek has no panties on them.
May I,
I offer it to the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Let me see here.
For your expert opinion, Mike.
Wow. I don't... You know, I don't think that's panties.
No, hold on. Look up higher. Look by her waist. Don't you see the roll on top? Those are...
Yeah, but that's the hose. Those are all the hose.
Okay,
right,
but
there.
Look on the left cheek.
Yes.
Okay, don't you see the panties there?
I think what you're confusing for panties are actually a seam that's going up in the hose, and the seam that is normally in the center is pulled over to the left. But, you know, you had mentioned the hair.
It's totally different.
And I think you might be right, especially the length of the hair.
Okay.
That's
obviously, there are some questions with this photo.
Fascinating.
If you look at it quite a bit, and trust me, I spent a few minutes staring at it today. And
right.
So did my executive, Rob Spiewak.
Uh-huh. But very disappointing, though. I mean, all things considered, you know, very...
We don't think it's the same girl.
Right.
And I don't think that that's a seam from the pant... Why would the seam from the pantyhose be going up that avenue?
Well, sometimes, like with thong underwear, the thong does not find its way on the divider of the highway.
Well, listen, Stacy, of course a video would help explain a lot of these questions.
We absolutely need a video.
I cannot promise that it will not be watched by the other boys here,
mm-hmm,
around the station.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy, if you really want to prove to me that you are who you say you are, and the letters come from Sacramento, I would like a picture of you exposing your top in front of Carl's Jr., my favorite hamburger joint in California.
I don't think that's an unreasonable request at all.
And don't think it's very tough. Just stand in front of the Carl's Jr.,
mm-hmm,
pull up your shirt or whatever you're wearing, and
right.
And let's see what's doing.
Good.
And please, in front of Carl's Jr.
In front of Carl's Jr.
All right, so Stacy, that is what I require from you. Thank you, my lady.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's a very exciting way to start a show. And Rob, if you would like to come, please take this photo, which does not match the other ones, but I'm sure...
Burst through the door now.
Sure you would like to put by your desk. There you go, RJ. And RJ, your thoughts on that photo? Your thoughts, please?
It looks like a picture done out of perspective.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder. I want more than anyone for it to be real, but I just don't know.
All right, well, do what you will with that photo.
Good.
And Stacy, send us another one, please.
Please, Stacy, send more. You know, the Carl's Jr. can just be the tip of the iceberg.
so to speak.
Yeah.
Have her take pictures of herself at all kinds of exotic locations.
Oh, fantastic.
God, am I getting turned on. we will be back in a moment. I know what will take me out of this this frenzy.
Yes.
The 1-900 medical information line. Yes, Robbie.
Are you sure that's not a scar?
That is a scar. That is, man, that's like a Frankenstein scar.
Yeah, butt surgery?
Yeah, maybe. Certainly not a reduction. I'm kidding.
Oh, Rob. All right,
get out, Rob.
All right, Stacy, that was Rob speaking. We don't feel that way.
Get out, RJ. We'll come back and we'll try the 1-900 medical information line to start this Super Friday show, and we'll be right back. Very good. Look at me now. 30 minutes, and I didn't talk about the phone call from you-know-who.
That's very good. You're right. A responsible broadcaster.
Good for me. Now, we'll talk about it during the commercial break. We'll be right back.
Oh, nothing's wrong with Oprah. She doesn't look real.
Ain't nothing wrong with Oprah. I seen Oprah on hard copy last week with a picture of her. Got a tall, young, strong gentleman named Stedman, so handsome. He's my favorite out of all of them. Jenny Jones, Marilyn Kagan, Maury Povich, Letterman, Leno, Montel, Ricky Lee,
Colorado.
Mike Douglas. Oh, Mike Douglas. You know, Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched the show. I would get moist when I watched the show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
Let's say there are 10 guys on a wall and Jerry Lewis tries to hug them. Two guys will turn him down, Don and Mike.
Now, I think we have someone on the phone for the underpants open.
Right.
Listen, if you're an exotic, if you're one in a million.
An oddity.
Yes, I want to say that, Mike, but
sure.
Yes, if you're an oddity, then of course you go right to the front of the line
for the
underpants open, and I've been told that it's a grandma calling.
I love our senior citizens.
So let's see if this pans out. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
Grandma.
No, this isn't grandma. This is Charlie.
Well, I was going to say, if you were a grandma, you've got quite a deep voice.
Grandma, what sharp teeth you have.
The screeners didn't do such a great job today.
All the better to meet you with.
Congratulations, I'm graduating. The grades are in, and I'm getting my paper.
Charlie, what are you talking about?
I'm graduating from Clemson University, baby.
Now, how does that get translated into
an underpants thing? I have no idea.
Grandmother on the telephone. Perhaps there was another line.
I mean, I am wearing underpants, but I'm not a grandmother.
And you just had to call and tell us you're graduating?
Oh, I was wanting a congratulations from you guys. I love your show all the time.
Was this in doubt ever? Was this ever in doubt?
Yes, I'm 27. You know?
Oh, okay. Oh, 27.
Yeah. Wow.
What are you on, the 8-year plan?
Oh, man, my parents think it's like the 15-year plan, but I'm getting that paper and I'm walking. You gotta go through the motions, baby.
27? I just want to say that I don't want to cast any aspersions on this guy, like say that he's, you know, dumb for being 27 and getting out of college. But
I paid my own way through.
I will say this, that my wife went to Clemson. Clemson. She gets me to pronounce it Clem.
You went to Clemson?
Clemson.
Clemson.
C-L-E-M-S-O-N.
Yes, but you're supposed to pronounce it Clemson.
That's right.
I don't think you're supposed to say Clemson, which is what I say.
We call it San Quentin, but that's okay.
All I know is that my wife went through, and she got through in 4 years, and I ask her about college constantly,
yes.
And all she ever talks about is drinking beer out of the big 6-foot-tall glasses and throwing up a lot.
No, I had to a lot of tables, and I paid my way through, but I did it myself, and I'm proud to say. It took me a long time, but I did it.
I don't know how great that Clemson education is.
No, it's actually a very fine business program. Not all of us carry footballs.
It's a great school.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. I'm sorry I bothered you with your underpants thing, but...
Oh, no, you're not bothering me.
Well, maybe this is a good inspiration for people like 35 or 40 that want to go back to school, you know?
Sure, people were really slow.
No.
Of course, going back to school, you started and it just took you a decade to finish.
It took me a decade, but I did do it.
You know what else she had to do at Clemson?
What did I have to do in Clemson?
She was one of the girls that had to meet the prospective athletes...
She was one of the orange jacket greeters.
Yes, and I've asked her.
Really?
What did she have to do to those athletes?
Well, now, she says nothing. She says nothing. That's... However, I noticed that right after we got married, when I first started to know my wife, we'd be watching television.
Right.
And Tree Rollins went to Clemson University, basketball player. And I had a game on, and you know, there's nothing about sports. She says, Tree Rollins? Oh, I know him.
Yeah, I bet she knows
and, him. And Dwight Clark, the guy who caught the famous pass from Joe Montana.
Yeah, sure, yeah, that's right. He went here. Ike Bequay went here. Steve Fuller went
well,
here.
Well, I hope my wife didn't go to bed with those guys, but I think, like, she went out to dinner with them and stuff to get them to go to Clemson.
Well, I don't know. All I know is these guys aren't supposed to get any quirks, and then after they get recruited, I see brand new Nissan Pathfinder.
You mean, sir, do you mean they're not supposed to get any perks?
Quirks.
They're not supposed to get any quirks. Perhaps we're beginning to see why it took you so long to get out of Clemson.
I'm a little nervous here. Give me
and I'm positive my wife didn't do anything with any guy there. I think that she really did just go on dates that they would get, like, good-looking women, and maybe they would they would tease the athletes a little bit.
Well, right. I give your wife a lot of credit for wearing one of those orange jackets.
I hope she wasn't diddled by Dwight Clark or diddled by Tree Rollins.
Wow.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You do a good job.
Thank you.
Take care now.
All right. Now, what is your next step after 9 years in college?
I'm starting my own business, possibly going back for a master's degree.
You're starting your own business? Is that kind of another way of saying I'm between my first job?
No, it's not.
Finally graduated?
Yeah, just a shade under a decade, too. All right.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
I know. They're called doctors.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
He's
very, very proud, Mike.
Friday, all excited. He finally got his piece of paper at age 27.
Hooray.
I don't feel bad about that, extra couple of months it took me to get out of American University.
And why, look at me. The little boy who never went to school.
Oh, God,
The little boy who never went to college.
Look at you. Every time I look at you, I say to myself, why the hell did I waste all that time?
The little boy who was smarter than all of his friends, who wasted their time sitting and listening to a man talk about something they'll never use again in the rest of their life.
Well, we had a hell of a time, though. That was
so weird. Did I.
No, you did.
A little too good in some cases. Hey, we have a crazy fax here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if this number pans out. You know, we're always looking for nutty businesses to call.
Right.
Yeah, and we have a fax here from Austin, Texas. That's a real funny name of a business. Let me give them a ringy dingy.
Okay.
Ready?
Calling Austin, Texas now.
But I guess that the 60-year-old grandma hung up.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Nothing like having a senior citizen out there with her putter.
Okay. Now get ready to laugh if this pans out.
Hello, Mammoth. May I help you?
Yes. Mammoth? What is this business, please?
Mammoth Construction.
Is this Mammoth Erections?
Mammoth Construction.
Well... It says in the telephone book, Mammoth Erections.
Did you need something?
Yeah.
We're just kind of curious why it says that in the telephone book.
Hey, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our national radio show right now.
We thought you'd answer the phone the other way instead of saying Mammoth Construction.
Well, that used to be our old name.
Your old name. You see, we wanted to have the big fun with the old name. You can understand that, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
Hey, listen, is the Frugal Gourmet there?
That was our joke. You like that?
Yeah, that was funny.
So I guess you had to change the name because you had a lot of guys calling?
Well, we had some.
Mm-hmm. Calling Mammoth Erections?
Yeah.
Hello? Is that how you had to answer the phone? Mammoth Erections?
No, I don't, personally.
Yeah. Did you ever, at any time working there, did you ever answer the phone saying Mammoth Erections?
Not me personally, no.
Oh.
Aren't we on in this town? Aren't we on in Austin, Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on in Austin.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of a station called KJFK?
Is that the station you're on?
Yes.
My husband listens to you all the time.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. We're part of the Satan Broadcasting Network. and we wish you would turn all of your dials in Mammoth Erections to our station.
Well, I'll tell you what, we have T-shirts.
Oh, do you have T-shirts that say Mammoth Erections?
Yes, we do.
Ooh. Well, then why don't you answer your phone that way?
Because I'm too embarrassed.
Oh. An honest lady.
So you mean if we were to call another time with someone else here, they would proudly answer the phone by saying, hello, Mammoth Erections.
My husband would probably like to send you a T-shirt.
Oh, okay. Does your husband work also at Mammoth Erections?
Yeah, he does.
Really? How hard does he have to work at it? Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Have a great weekend at Mammoth Erections.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The password for that lady was fun.
Ah, the best gifts are homemade. Thank you to James from Austin, Texas, who faxed that into us.
All right.
Okay, we'll do the medical information line on our next break, because I do want to try one other quick call here.
Okay.
Something we've mentioned earlier in the week, the Hump Off for Cash winning couple.
Yes.
About 9 months ago, we started a contest. that we never finished.
Mm-hmm.
The Hump Off for Cash, where we had 20 different couples from around the country. And as it turns out, in some of the cases, we had a couple of couples from St. Louis, and then our station in St. Louis went under, so
right.
we don't know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And people haven't kept in touch, and we haven't kept our end of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got this fax. Kim and Rick from Sacramento gave birth to Taylor Vivian on April 28th at 10:26 p.m., They are the first official couple to have a baby. They tried to have a baby because we urged them to here on the show.
This is marvelous. I mean, this is the first couple that has the baby, and we are so happy. Taylor Vivian, apparently, at least as far as we know, doing well.
Now, there's got to be some kind of prize for them.
Sure.
Because it was a contest that was never finished, but they did the work. And
I have confidence that you'll come up with something nice for them.
Oh, yeah. I got some Aussie tickets or something.
There you go.
Queensryche tickets.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Is this Kim?
Yes, it is.
Kim, hi. This is Don and Mike. How are you?
Kim, way to go.
Thank you.
Hey, we understand it. You had a little baby.
I sure did.
Actually, a big baby. 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
Pounds, I know.
22 inches?
Boy, Taylor, Vivian, a bruiser, huh?
She was a week late, yeah.
How does such a big baby come from such a small place?
I couldn't tell you.
Relatively speaking, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure. When you start thinking about it, I try not to think about it too much.
Well, Kim, we got a fax saying that you had a baby, and we need to know, did you and your husband enter our Hump Off for Cash contest?
We sure did. Ah.
Okay.
We were contestant number 11.
Do you remember what the prize was? Because I don't.
Okay, actually, I believe it was a trip to the Bahamas, but...
Oh. Oh, dear.
I don't think we ever said that, Kim.
Yeah, Kim, do you have any memory of a prize? Because we're trying to... It's been so long.
Maybe we didn't announce a prize. I think it was one of those deals where I just said, let's do this, and then we'll give them something 9 months later.
You said we'll give them something nice.
Something not... Well, all right.
There you go.
Well, that means the Aussie tickets are out, but the Queensryche tickets are in.
Hey, Queensryche.
The Bahamas sure is nice.
Listen, you keep saying that B word, and I don't...
Kick down?
Pardon me?
You guys aren't going to kick down with the trip?
Kick down. I like that. I like that lingo.
Kick down with a trip.
Is that like give up the goods?
There you go.
Well, now what are you going to do with your brand new baby? If now listen, we're not giving you a trip, but if you were to win a trip, what would you do with the baby?
Well, I would hope it would be quite a ways from now.
Yeah, where do you live again, Kim?
We live in Sacramento, California.
Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about a trip to Folsom?
Well, listen, I trip there every day.
I think we can arrange something, because what I'm going to do now is the same thing I did 9 months ago. See, if she, okay. I'll tell you, we'll give you a trip somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but if you can't take the trip for a while, that gives me time to talk to our promotion staff and to figure out
sure
where we could... Would you like to go somewhere warm? Is that what you'd like?
That would be great.
A nice exotic location?
There you go.
You know, I know that our fun and game staff can usually come out with a trip somewhere warm, usually in July or August.
That sounds good.
Tijuana.
You know, that's probably the way it'll work out, too, is that they'll get you a trip, but it'll be a trip when no one wants to go because it's hot everywhere else.
Sure, absolutely.
But, Kim, if that's what you and your husband would like, well, then, gosh darn it, that's what we shall supply you with.
I hear Phoenix is beautiful in July.
Sounds good to me.
I bet she doesn't care, as long as it's somewhere that's warm, somewhere where she can, you know, get away from life's everyday. Like, well, you know, it'll be a giant Calgon bath oil bead bath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a nice warm bath.
Yeah. Well, I would say that's the sensation that you get, no matter if it's Phoenix, Mike, or perhaps if it's... Well, somewhere like Chico, California, that we sent there, just a stone's toss away from Sacramento.
Yeah. Chico, yeah, it's south of Sacramento, right?
It's north of Sacramento.
Oh, damn.
All right, small point. Wherever it is, I promise you, we'll send you somewhere very nice. And, and thank you for entering our contest, and congratulations. How is baby Taylor Vivian doing?
She's doing great. She's growing well.
How do you feel about a bus trip?
Oh, no. No bus trip.
You, even if it was a bus trip somewhere nice?
How about a bus to Tijuana?
No.
No?
No, thank you.
What's your dream destination outside of the Bahamas, in the continental United States? What is your dream date?
Florida sounds good.
Florida's doable.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that is very doable.
Okay.
I promise you a trip to Florida.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Good, Don. Way to go.
Now,
how the hell are you going to get that?
I'm going to do like Genie. I'm going to, you know, just blink my eyes and do like Bewitched and move my nose. And then I'm going to go call Kim during the next break.
Now that we need to get Kim and Rick a free trip down to Florida.
Sure. That will work done and done.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds good.
Congratulations on your baby, and thank you for being a great fan of the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now anybody else that has a baby for this contest, no more trips.
No more trips, that's it.
Everybody else gets Aussie tickets.
That's right, we'll take care of you, Kim.
Thank you.
You'll like it, or you'll eat nothing.
You'll get nothing and like it.
As my mom used to say. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
And hold the line, please.
And if you're talking to Ken about it, rest assured that it'll be a very nice trip to Florida, as long as the couple doesn't leave the airport.
We will be back in a second. You know, the lines are hopping now. Let's just take more phone calls.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do a phone scan right here and right now. We are ready to believe you. So call us now. Get on the line to get on the air, because if we don't take calls now, we never will, and we can do news and Stossel and the information line all in the next hour. So phone scan Lions straight ahead at 1-800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
Don and Mike.
What the hell are you doing harassing my tenants?
Oh, come on, you son of a bitch. I'm just trying to be friendly.
All right, let's go.
Not Seinfeld, not Larry Sanders, the other funny white show, Don and Mike.
All right, just ahead of your telephone calls, Ice Spice Girls.
Yeah.
At 1-800-636-1067. I don't know what it is about the Spice Girls.
Oh, I
Maybe
do.
Maybe it's the fact that, yeah, they're so dirty looking. I like the gloves they wear.
They're naughty.
And the favorite would be the redhead.
You've always liked the redhead.
And there's a couple of those girls who I wouldn't characterize as pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple of Spice Girls who were...
But they paint themselves up so nice.
Almost homely. There's one with the long, tall, skinny face who does
the
a
blonde,
lot of...
right?
No. The blonde's all right.
Well, the blonde has a long face, I thought.
No, she has kind of a fat face, I think.
I've only seen it a couple of times, and I know that you watch it daily, and you're two inches away from the set.
Constantly analyzing the videotape backwards and forwards. A tall one with a long face.
Mm-hmm.
She's not too pretty.
She's the one with the deep voice, right?
Oh, yes. Phone scan right here and right now, 1-800-636-1067. A couple of notes before we get there. First, for those who are calling and wondering, yes, that really was Barney the Dinosaur yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, some people think that we had someone in the back room going, you know,
"Hey, Charlie." No, that was the real article there.
If that was a goofy interview, we would have asked Barney many more goofy questions.
Sure.
A credit to this show that we were able to balance the scales with the dominatrix in 1 hour and then Barney the Dinosaur in the next.
Charlie had to take the day off today because he was so very excited after that interview.
We will have the dog psychiatrist on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be bringing my dog Brandy in, the very troubled dog.
Are you doing anything to prepare your dog for this? It might be a
outside
traumatic...
of locking her in the garage all weekend. Absolutely nothing.
Okay.
No, nothing at all.
Okay.
And about the contest for the baby,
mm-hmm.
I was looking at the top of the facts that we received about the winning couple here, Rick and Kim.
Right.
And we did call the contest the Hump Off for Cash. So there must have been money in some way involved with that. So, Rob, if you would call up Kim and tell her she can either have the trip to Florida or $1,000.
That's good.
Okay, that's the easiest way to make sure that we cover whatever base is on that topic.
That's good. She certainly won't be averse to that. And I think that originally, if I remember correctly, it might have been, we mentioned in passing $1,000.
Okay, so give her the opportunity, one or the other. Because we do appreciate the fact that they had a baby and... By all rights, someday that baby will be ours, Mike.
Yes, that's the way it was. That was the fine print of the contract that they made with us when they entered that contest.
Yeah. To be raised in our cave, to live in our compound.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you looking for underpants open? Something unusual?
Yes. If you are an exotic, if you perhaps have something that makes you stand out from the crowd, you might be able to garner an invitation.
I'm a transvestite.
You're a transvestite?
Yes.
I don't believe you because of the affected way you're speaking.
I am.
No, and you don't sound smart enough to be a transvestite.
I think you're giving transvestites too much credit there, Mike. So, yeah, there's no argument there.
Yeah, there's nothing. It might be a kid.
I'm passable.
You're what?
Looks like Tootsie.
You look like who?
I look like Tootsie. Boy, there's an original concept for a transvestite.
Tootsie, hello, Don and Mike Show, Jacksonville, Florida. Hello.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey.
Oh, listen.
Please tell me.
You made me think of something.
Okay, go ahead.
How you doing? Hey, how you doing, guys?
So I had a conversation today with Rudy, working out the details to make sure that Howie Long is on the show today. And Rudy is our liaison to get these guys from the sports community.
Right. Rudy home today?
No, Rudy is in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Rudy is in San Francisco because Lenny's kids are having a bar mitzvah this weekend. Lenny has twins.
That's a very... Rudy, if you can say a lot of things about Rudy, but one thing, Rudy is a loyal friend.
Yep. So Rudy says to me, I'm in San... He's doing that real hushed way of speaking. How you doing? I'm in San Francisco for Lenny's bar mitzvah of his twins. Do you know who Lenny is? You guys meet him?
And I know who Lenny is. Yeah.
Lenny's the guy that was walking around the Super Bowl with the fake penis in his pocket. and Rudy's, yeah.
Lenny had a few interesting conversations with us that we will remember for a long time.
Lenny had a lot of party favors and stuff. He's the only guy that I met at the Super Bowl who, like, walked around with props.
Yeah, and I will give Lenny a descriptive word that really is the kindest that comes to mind now. He was worldly. He was worldly. He seemed to know a lot about interesting subjects.
So that's where Rudy is. That's when we talk to Howie Long today. We'll have Rudy on another line, and Rudy will be in San Francisco at Lenny's kids' bar mitzvahs.
What are you doing?
Where at every table there will be a fake penis. It was a guy's claim to fame at the Super Bowl. He walked around with this thing in his pocket.
Yeah, and it looked like it needed laundering.
Yes, hello, Jacksonville. I'm sorry you got me off on a tangent. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yes. Hey,
please tell me you got that show on videotape Wednesday.
What was Wednesday? Oh, the Night of 100 Lesbians?
Yes.
Did not.
You come on now. Don, you got a hidden camera around there somewhere.
Did not. Listen, I think we spoiled our fans by taping our big Sex Pies and videotape last fall.
Yeah, and another thing is the lesbians that joined us, a lot of them wish to, maintain their confidentiality, and that's why we gave them numbers.
Sure. Yeah, that's why they had numbers. If you tape stuff all the time and sell it all the time, it loses some of the special feelings that stuff like that has. And if you'd like to see what goes on, this is one of the reasons that we're working on our webpage now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're going to be offering on our webpage, which I keep being told is going to be ready and up and running any day now.
Right.
Is that when you log on our webpage, if we've got something hot on the show, like last Wednesday's show was pretty hot,
sure.
We have a digital camera inside the studios, and you can log on the internet and see stuff happening in real time.
That's right.
On your computer screen.
Wow.
Oh, and listen, also, I was asked to speak about this, as long as we're on the topic of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Our show on the internet. Okay? Our show, I think, was on the internet for a while, and then an order came down from the management of CBS Radio to take all Infinity shows off the internet.
Right.
We are now negotiating with the people that we work for to put our show on our website.
That's good. Very good. I think that's something we'll struggle along with, and we'll let you know when that happens.
So to make a long story short, when we get our website, you'll be able to log on if you have a computer and you have the internet, and you'll be able to see that stuff happening right as it's happening.
Right.
Have you ever heard of Jessica White, the Dancing Outlaw?
Jessica White, the Dancing Outlaw.
Never have.
I thought I heard her mentioned one day on one of the best of shows. I'll send you a videotape. It's a guy in West Virginia. You won't believe what you see. It's a documentary done by a PBS guy. Unbelievable that a human is this stupid.
Can you give us just a sample of that?
Hold on. Is this what it is? Is this the guy?
Well, after my father, I am the best dancer after him.
Yeah.
See, he was the king of Pepe.
He was the
king. I've never seen nobody, no other man outdance him or outthink him in his mind. I'm left to carry on that tradition, to fill his shoes, and I'm going to do my best to try to do it.
We have that tape, and we have been playing one snippet from that tape about the eggs.
Yeah, and we never put a name with the voice here.
We have it labeled as Inbred Man.
Yeah, that's him.
So there's a lot more on there, huh?
Oh, my God. You haven't seen the whole videotape?
Well, send it in, please.
I will, and he was on Roseanne.
And I put it up to her neck.
Oh, my.
I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
Yeah, we'd love to have the tape. Please send it along.
Yeah, put somebody on the phone with me so I can get your address.
Okay. Yes, sir. Hello. Don and my show.
Very authoritative, man.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, have all your sex pies and videotapes been mailed out?
Don't know.
I ordered it twice and never got it.
Well, I'd say probably you were rejected for bad credit. Hello, Don and my show.
Hey, guys.
Another friend made.
Hello.
Hey.
Listen, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with that. You'd have to call the 1-800 number that you ordered tape on, I guess.
Sure.
Hello.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi.
I need some help here, man. I got girl problems.
Why do guys always ask us for help with girl problems?
And how old are you, sir? How old are... Hey, how old are you?
Excuse me?
How old?
22.
I think it's pretty well documented that neither one of us would be considered a champion with women.
No, we were very fortunate to be married to the woman we are married to.
You lucked into that situation.
Pure luck. I mean, pure luck. Otherwise, you know, we'd be out there going, hi, how you doing? What's your sign?
Tell me this one thing, though.
We'd be living together.
it'd be a big house, but it would be, it would be a house with no furniture.
Cool.
Just bean bags and pizza boxes.
Stacks of magazines.
Yeah, lots of magazines.
All the way up to the ceiling.
And we could never have anybody over because they'd see the magazines.
Yes, then what was the piece of advice you needed?
Oh, I have a question for you guys. Okay, let's say you broke up with somebody 3 months ago.
Yes.
And yesterday the girl, your ex, goes up to you and says, hey, I'm engaged.
Right.
How are you supposed to react?
Yeah, the one thing I'd want to do is congratulate her for the good judgment.
Yeah, you tell me what do you want, the serious answer?
Yeah.
Look, come on, be a man, move on. You know what you do? You look at her face, you spit on her. You spit on her, you say, you whore, I never wanted you anyway.
Okay, how about part B? Let's say she's 20 and the guy is 34.
What does that have to do with it?
Come on, 14 years.
What do you have to do? Are you really hung up on this girl?
More or less.
And why did you break up? Did you have a big fight?
Fight.
Did she break up with you, or did you break up with her?
It was mutual.
It was what?
Mutual. We kind of pissed.
Mike, it was mutual.
Mutual.
Cut her off.
Have a one. This is Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
That's Tom Brokaw. We're talking with Mr. Energy now. Did she have a problem with your low energy level?
Negative.
Your inability to string a sentence together that the one can understand?
I got a little,
When she was describing you, did she ever use the word dullard?
No.
Really?
No.
She wasn't bothered by your drool cup?
My dip cup, yeah.
Your dip cup? Are you one of those guys that dips the skull?
Yeah.
My advice to you would be get more into that. Drown your sorrows in smokeless tobacco. You know, we give him all that advice, and then he says, F the Hobbit.
Still, you know, the Hobbit. The Hobbit, still as popular as ever.
Mm-hmm. His creamy, white, milky skin, the object of many hours of unseen devotion in prisons around America. F the Hobbit.
F the Hobbit, still set on this show. I love that.
All right. Thank you. Please, no more calls. We have a winner. We'll be right back.
Don and Mike.
Do you identify yourself?
WJFK.
Come in.
Come in. Hey, Grandma, I brought a little bunny rabbit for you to have.
Rabbit?
Hey, Grandma, you almost forgot. Grandma, what big eyes you got?
Yeah, I know. All right. Big eyes. Yeah, I know.
Would you identify yourself?
They listen for 4 hours every day. Shouldn't you? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right here on Wacky Westwood One Entertainment. That's our network. From the studios of CBS-owned and operated WJFK in Washington, D.C., coming out of your radio in Boise, Idaho.
All right.
On Idaho's first radio station, 580 KFXD. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend. It's Sioux City, Iowa on FM 99 KKMA.
All right.
And thank you for listening, as always, in Sacramento, Hot Talk KHTK, your home of the Sacramento Kings. Now it's 17 past the hour. News and comment. And here is Buzz McDernank. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, you remember, of course, the pilot who turned up missing in the Colorado Rockies. They finally found his plane and his remains.
Mm-hmm.
There was a theory that maybe he'd committed suicide by smashing into a mountain. Now there's a theory about why he may have committed suicide.
Is it that movie, that John Travolta movie?
Had nothing to do with that.
Wasn't trying to steal any bombs or anything.
Doesn't
like that.
Appear that way, although we don't really know officially. But a newspaper in Tucson says that Captain Craig Button may have committed suicide because he was afraid that his former gay lover was about to go public.
I'm gay.
With their relationship.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I'm a lesbian.
Now,
how about that?
The Air Force officially says...
No. How about that?
Wow.
Says it's just a theory, and they say that any theory that he was gay or that he might have killed himself is purely speculation, according to the Air Force. But
gay. Every day it's gay now.
Yeah. More gay news.
This newspaper in Tucson says military investigators have this theory, so we'll see what happens. About the standoff in Texas, this continues to get strange.
You're going
to
get mad. If these news stories are anything like I've heard before, you're going to get mad, Don, because they're not taking your advice.
Well, now, when I saw Good Morning America today, they said that they've said to them a deadline now, that they have to get out or else.
If that's not true, is it?
Well, no, they have. In fact, that is partly true. They did, in fact, make a final offer to the group. In fact, part of the state's final offer guarantees that Republic of Texas leader Richard McLaren would be kept in the same jail as his wife if he surrenders. However,
why are we giving this guy all of these options?
Yeah, and I'll update it there because I recently heard a guy from the law enforcement down there saying he wants to make it very clear there is no deadline. And they're coddling these people now.
Someone tell them I'm on a deadline on that.
I don't know how much longer this will, because there have been two wacky developments today in this story.
And what are the wacky developments?
I don't think you know about these.
And
yet.
I like it when you call them the wacky developments.
Yeah, they are. First of all, one of the separatists inside that compound has come out and surrendered.
Is he gay?
No. No,
I'm gay.
He didn't come out that way. He just
I'm a lesbian.
No, he's not that either. He just came out of the compound. Now, get this. No. It's the same guy they sprang from jail to trade for the hostages. So he went into the compound.
And now he's out.
And now he's out of the compound and has resurrendered to the police.
Well, at least that prisoner has got the concept down pat.
Sure.
The guy that they originally swapped.
Now, how about this? He brought out some information with him. There may not... See, when we came out, we thought there were 13 people in there.
Right.
When he came out, we thought that left 12.
Mm-hmm.
But the information he brought out is there are only 7 people left in the compound. We're talking
only
about...
Only 7? Kill them all. Let God sort them out.
We're talking about 7 people here now.
How bad is the law enforcement down there that they can't even get a head count? Don't they have their special goggles that they can... You know, I'll give them my searchlight and my night vision goggles.
There you go. They may need those.
Blast them out of there.
So because of these 7 guys, 150 neighbors are holed up in their houses waiting for this to blow over. One guy left because he couldn't take it anymore. One of the neighbors left. And here's a quote from that neighbor I thought you'd enjoy. He said, Rick, referring to the leader of the cult, he says, Rick has promised to fight to the death. I hope he is a man of his word. And that's how the neighbors
feel. Let's have that fight tonight. Let's get that wound up before dinner time tonight.
You know, I do feel sorry for those neighbors, and they are hoping for that. Send Bruce Willis in there. Send Bruce Willis in that old movie he did where he was wearing the fedora and he walked in with the guns going.
And my suggestion, if anybody in Austin has a problem, that they call Mammoth Erections for all of your supernatural erection needs.
Yeehaw! Another new development on a different story. This morning you may have heard the rumors that Donald and Marla Trump were about to split up.
I couldn't keep anything down this morning, Buzz.
Me too. Well, turns out they are splitting up.
Yay! I'm sorry.
I feel my lunch coming up.
I'm sorry about my joy.
The couple says it's true. This will be the end of their 3.5-year marriage.
I need a bucket.
There had been some speculation that at first, when the rumor came out, that this was just a ploy to publicize Donald Trump's Miss Universe pageant, which he owns.
Good man.
It's coming up May 16th, hosted by Marla. Apparently that's still on, but apparently the marriage is off. So
that makes us all smile.
Well, now I've got that bad taste in my mouth.
Sure.
They were my favorite couple.
They were dreamy, you know, and Kathy Lee's good friends.
Thank God Tommy Lee and Pamela Lee are still together. My other favorite couple.
There is a God.
I bet Jerry Springer will clear your palate. Remember we were talking about the two news anchors in Chicago who were hopping mad about the fact that Jerry Springer had been added to their
news
set?
Oh, I love this. The main TV reader, I saw this on the Today Show. They interviewed her on the Today Show, Buzz.
Ah.
The main TV reader from Channel 5 in Chicago.
Right.
And that's what I call the anchor people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all great readers, but that's what they are.
They're terrific readers.
The main news reader, she has a 2x4 up her butt because Jerry Springer's coming on.
Yeah.
So she decided in a huff she's going to quit WMAQ television.
Well, what is the deal with that? Both anchors were mad. They were both threatening to quit. One has, but the other is still there.
Listen, Ron Majors has gone through every fight at Channel 5 in Chicago. He's been there through every regime, through Action News, through Eyewitness News, through We Only Give You Happy News, to we give you all the news in 25 minutes.
Right. You know, the old conspiracy theory brewing in my head right now. What if this guy, Ron Majors, gets the lady out, they have a cocktail after the news, and they know Jerry Springer's coming in. He works her up into a real frenzy.
Right.
He says, yeah, we should quit. I would go on, I'm going to quit later on this afternoon. You quit first. Then she quits. He sits there and says, I knew nothing about it.
Well, there are two schools of thought. One says he may still quit, and the other says
he won't quit.
He may not.
He won't quit. He's a hard-drinking, old-time newsreader.
But
love
your friend,
those newsreaders.
Your friend, your man, Jerry Springer, will be on television tonight talking about this whole debacle. He'll be on Tom Snyder's Late Late Show tonight.
Ah, our friend Tom Snyder.
Excellent. A final postscript to the ratings story about the Ellen DeGeneres episode that was...
I'm gay.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a lesbian.
Uh-huh, same one. More people watched that show this week, by the way, than watched the Oscars. And that program was watched in 35% of American homes. That's the national average.
Yes.
In Boston and San Francisco, the average was 45%.
Hmm, what does that say?
Alec Baldwin is reportedly thinking about running for Congress in New York.
I am God.
Alec was in Washington last week lobbying for the arts. He told John McLaughlin he's not sure he's ready to take on Washington yet, but the rumors persist that he's running for Congress.
How you doing, Buzz?
I have a question for Alec Baldwin.
Yes, Mike O'Mara, the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Alec, if you do get elected to Congress, there's a major scandal, and they bring you up on some kind of charges for illegal campaign contributions, and you have to go before the grand jury, and you have to enter a plea, what will that plea be?
Two words. Not guilty.
Don Geronimo doing his Alec Baldwin impersonation.
I saw him on a Rosie show today. I'll say this for him.
Yes.
He's one pretentious man.
Oh, yes, he is.
Look at me, Rosie, you pig. Look at me, my beautifully sculptured face, my finely manicured nails.
Pretentious.
Imagine what I've got in my pants, Rosie.
Are you saying he has a higher opinion of himself, maybe something beyond human?
Thank you for the setup, Buzz. I am God. And I'll tell you this, Rosie. I'll tell you this right now.
What's that, Alec?
What's that, Alec? Okay, I'll play along. What's that, Alec? Excuse me. Let me just have a bite of my ho-ho. Yes, Alec?
I wouldn't kiss you if the Listerine people paid me $400,000.
Oh, come on now. Would you kiss John McDee and the McDee LTs?
Everyone knows he's a big fag.
Oh, Alec, boo! I'm going to shoot you with one of my cushy-wooshies or whatever the things I shoot.
Always talking about how he's washing his dogs. That disgusts me. Where's my wife, Kim Bassinger?
You're not going to punch any more photographers, are you, Alec?
Yes, and then I'm going to go to their vans and spray it with shaving cream.
Oh, would you like a ring-ding? Have a ring-ding, Alec. I'm eating them. They're great.
Two of your favorite people, Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando, apparently at one point invested a lot of money. They both have a lot of money.
Does this mean we're done with the Alec Baldwin bit?
Yeah, I don't you think?
I could do it the rest of the show, boys.
I know.
I also want to have him talk about Marlon Brando.
There you go.
Look at my son. Hey, look at my boy.
So Nicholson and Brando.
Hey, fat boy.
I just really call him fat.
The horror. The horror.
Well, you know how Marlon Brando cares about his health. He and Jack Nicholson invested in a health ranch. A lot of money. But
who cut the cheese? Rosie?
No, that was me. I'm sorry. I just had a little scampi for lunch.
They never saw this health ranch come to fruition, so they hired a New York corporate investigator to find the money. He did find the money. It was in some foreign bank accounts. Never seen or heard from again. The New York Daily News says at first the two actors balked at paying the investigator, but now they say they will. So they're out that money, too.
When you see the investigator, you say he signs the contract or his brains will be on the contract.
Exactly. Oh, we mentioned yesterday...
I got a question for you, Marlon.
You go ahead, Alex.
How do you wipe yourself, man?
I have a special product that is a stick with the pinchers on it. Thank you for asking.
You mean like one of those big back scratchers that you win at the carnival?
Yeah, but it's what it's got is...
Those big long sticks with the giant fingers on the end of it.
It's got a kind of a hydraulic thing that I squeeze on the end, and then the paper. The paper goes in between the little fingers on it, and I have a reach of 4 to 5 extra feet.
My brother Billy's not clean like that.
Your brother Billy's a pig. I may be a fat pig, but he's just a plain old pig.
But he's a Baldwin pig.
He's one of the Baldwins.
I'm not guilty.
God, I wish there were as many Brandos as there are Baldwins. God. Time to wipe.
Here's your stick.
Thank you.
We mentioned yesterday that ABC is putting Lois and Clark on hiatus. It's probably...
Oh, what are you trying to do, rock my world?
Probably just as well. I'm going to rock it a couple of times here. First of all, hold on
before you run. Let me stop you right there, okay?
All right.
Stop right there. Let's do a break. Let me compose myself,
sure.
And we will be right back. Here are the tone-tapping touchstones spurting out of your radio, making an oogie mess like you-know-who.
Howdy, brother.
We'll take call 100 right now. Do some Moron trivia after news and comment. So call in to win now. Be our century caller at 1-800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
The John Oliver and Mike Show.
In this sphere, all you have to do is wait. That's all.
That's all.
And then someone is going to contact you and tell you to say two words.
Two words.
Two precisely.
Precisely.
You know what they are? Have you guessed yet?
Eat me.
Not guilty.
The only radio show sculpted entirely out of creamery butter, The Don and Mike Show.
Overactor? I think not.
Not at all.
Stand by, Buzz.
All right.
Finish news and comment. We've got our call 100 right now, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi. Great. Who's this?
This is Mike.
And Mike, you are from?
Fairfax, Virginia.
All right, my friend. More on trivia.
Okay.
Oh, Mike.
Yes.
What?
I'm just laughing at you.
Why?
Because I know. I already saw him.
Okay.
Oh, I already saw him.
Okay.
Your latest attempt to freshen up this...
I know.
This stale part of the show where we answer the moron trivia. But all right, I'll give it a try.
This is fun. I didn't ask for these. These were given to me, so I'm going to use them.
Okay.
All right.
Listen, you on the phone. The Labour Party beat the Tories in the British election yesterday. What famous Tory plays Donna on Beverly Hills 90210?
Would that be Tory Spelling?
Tory Spelling,
yeah.
And now Mike is taking a dart, and he's going to throw it across the room to try to hit Virginia on the map.
Okay.
And Lake Michigan, I believe, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. I truly do. You have won tickets to see Queensryche.
Ooh.
And that's Saturday, July 26th at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets currently on sale. Order yours by calling Ticketmaster. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. All right. Hold the line, please.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
You know, I saw the... Oh, you got your workout in today.
Oh, boy, I broke a sweat there.
I saw the baggie,
yes,
with the darts.
Wait, now, did anybody bring them to you? Because you brought them in, right, Buzz?
Yes.
Yeah, Buzz brought the darts in.
See, I was sitting here. Now, I normally stand, and I can't see what you got doing on your side of the console.
Right.
But when I sit, see when I sit like this?
You can see through there.
I see right... My sight line is right there where the bag of darts was.
So you just saw it recently, just a moment ago?
About an hour ago, I guess.
Oh, and then you surmised that...
I was able to put together the thought that you would be throwing a dart at the map.
I have a goal now that I've seen that dart and what it looks like. if you don't mind, I mean, you're going to be doing more on trivia for a while, right?
Yes.
I would like to appeal to our listening audience. Send me your darts. Send me your darts so I never run out now. I was thinking of, like, grabbing the darts and recycling them, but I've got a supply of darts that's only going to last me one day.
And you think that the funniness of that is gonna last past one day?
It's not funny as much as it gives me something to do while you're asking the moron trivia. And I just picture that map just covered with darts randomly thrown. And, you know, since I scored with the first one, I'm very excited about it.
Well, congratulations on that. And, news and comment now.
Yes, we are right in the middle of that.
Continuing with Buzz Burbank. And for those of you wondering about the couple from California with the Humball for Cash, right? Kim and Rick have opted to take our offer for $1,000.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to them. Well, $1,000.
Duncan Shane, and thank you for listening. Now, Buzz, where Vervey?
Yes, well, we were talking about the fact that ABC was putting Lois and Clark on hiatus. Well, it's probably just as well.
Bummer.
Because showbiz columnist Liz Smith says Terry Hatcher is 2 months pregnant. This will disappoint a lot of guys on the internet, I'm sure.
Mm.
Hatcher is trying to quickly film the rest of her scenes for the upcoming James Bond film, Tomorrow Never Dies, before she shows too much.
I read about that show, Lois and Clark, which is getting really crappy ratings.
Now, yes.
They moved it from its Sunday night spot to Saturday night, and they got the show renewed because the same people that make that show make the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Really?
So they went to stations, and they said, if you want the Rosie O'Donnell show, you have to also pick up Lois and Clark.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
So that's how that's working.
And it worked. And somebody else is pregnant. Janine Turner. This is going to break your heart, I know.
Oh, the girl with the mole.
Oh, yeah, the girl from Northern Exposure.
She isn't saying who the father is, but she...
Charles Broyles.
She plans to raise the child on her own, and she's said to be very excited about the pregnancy. That's all we know right now.
Oh, no father around, huh?
Not that we know of.
Hmm.
She's independent like that, Mike.
Yeah, Charles, I mean, stand up. Be a stand-up guy. Come on.
Patrick Swayze got banged up a little bit near Sacramento, California yesterday, filming a stunt for a movie. The car he was driving flipped over in a field.
Sure wasn't just a vain attempt to get his name on newscasts.
Swayze and a cinematographer were cut, and a stunt coordinator was splashed in the face with gasoline, but fortunately, nobody was seriously hurt.
There's a guy who was really right at the pinnacle of everything. He had the Dirty Dancing, then he did the movie Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost, the biggest movie, in years.
And then... I mean, he did the movie where he jumped out of the airplane and robbed banks that was kind of a hit.
Yeah, and he's not a bad actor. He just doesn't seem to make real good choices.
But a great singer. Does anybody remember that awful song that he had with Dirty Dancing?
Oh, yeah.
The Ride Like the Wind or something like that?
Yeah.
She's got the something, something, something.
Patrick Swayze, one of the movie stars that a few years back actually made a stop by this show after a wild evening.
Oh, he was really at the peak of his popularity and went out and got trashed the night before he had to be on our radio show and decided that there was no need to sleep.
Right, just come right in.
So all of the women from the station were very excited that Patrick Swayze was coming in.
Right.
And they were all crowded around an office, peeking in a window where Patrick Swayze had his head on a desk and was like almost passed out and looked all, he wasn't shaved. And,
yeah, he didn't look too good.
He had that smell, that guy smell going for him.
You know, a few years have gone by since then, and apparently he's had a couple of hard nights. I saw him on television recently, and he didn't look that fresh, and he's talking about now making a sequel to Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
Hi, this is Patrick Swayze, and I never listened to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
There he is.
I guess his name is Mira. who's going to call himself Geronimo, much less O'Meara?
Yep, and then we got a second take.
Hi, this is Patrick Swayze. And, you know, really, I have to give you one piece of advice. You never, never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O, whatever, apostrophe, whatever his name is.
You had a problem with your name, Mike.
O'Meara or some stuff like that. Well, see, I told you, you shouldn't
so
do this kind of thing because these guys aren't worth knowing.
He was so hungover. It was a great interview.
Yeah. Oh, he was fantastic when he came in here. He was hungover, but he had a great time.
Real nice guy.
He's all right after having his car flip over. And speaking of car trouble,
too bad he has to get in wrecks now to get his name on the TV and the radio.
Well, this is amazing. For the second time in 3 days, firefighters have been called to a Bethesda, Maryland auto dealer to put out burning cars. It's a Toyota dealership. But mostly these have been apparently Chryslers that have gone up in flames. In the latest fire, the latest overnight fire, 4 cars were destroyed and 4 others were damaged. In the fire 2 days prior to that, 3 Cadillacs and a minivan went up in flames.
Wow.
And they think it has something to do with an electrical malfunction in the vehicle.
Bad luck.
Choose your cars carefully.
Okay.
They don't know where the money came from. At a Hotel Intercontinental in Miami, Florida, somebody shoved a suitcase filled with $150,000 down the hotel laundry chute. It was found by a hotel employee, naturally. It was turned over to the police.
It's mine.
They think it's drug proceeds, so they don't know.
It was Charles's.
There you go. And they're having a big pizza war in upstate New York, but not the likes of which we usually see. This pizza war in upstate New York has the owners of various pizza parlors burning each other's establishments to the ground.
Oh, just put the fire sound effect away.
Yeah, keep that handy. In this case, a couple of men had broken up their partnership after arguing over menu items, anchovies or not, and the ownership of some pizza ovens. So that's the pizza war in upstate New York.
You like that? You like that? There. You put the anchovies on the pizza. There you go. How you burn your business now?
Here's our correspondent, RJ.
Just one more piece of pizza first.
All right, thank you, Rob. Buzz, we got to wind this up.
Okay. A couple of doctors in California are about to lose their doctor's licenses. It was a liposuction case. A woman bled to death after they removed 20 pounds of fat in a liposuction surgery.
Oh, dear.
Ooh.
And in Fort Worth...
They got a nice paperweight, though.
Some county workers are out of a job after a TV crew taped them not working. They had been spending their time, according to the TV station's videotape, shopping at a Walmart, a pawn shop, and taking long breakfasts on county time. So if you're going to goof off, check for cameras first.
Okay.
This Buzzcast, sponsored by Nantucket Nectars. In sports, some Dennis Rodman quotes from the new issue of Playboy I thought you'd be interested in the middle of the playoffs.
I love Dennis Rodman.
Rodman's bad-mouthing the NBA and its commissioner, David Stern. Commissioner Stern had said that he would ban Rodman from the game if he puts the NBA in a bad light. Here are the quotes from Rodman. That won't happen. They will never do that. I am too much of a hot commodity. They need me. I am jiving those fogies, and they can't do a damn thing about it.
You know what? He's absolutely right.
You think this guy, David Stern, who's a pretty tough commissioner, is going to make a fist here?
No, because Dennis Rodman's right. Right now, he's as long as Dennis Rodman remains a viable commodity,
right,
they will continue to let him do whatever he wants.
It's all about marketing.
Rodman continues, the NBA is a cripple, and I am the crutch. I don't give a damn what Stern thinks. The NBA can kiss my ass, end quote.
Ooh, Rodman, I love that man or woman, whatever he is.
Rodman says he'll play another year for $9 or $10 million, and quoting him, if I don't play up to that contract, I'll play the whole year for free.
Finally. Well, now that's where I think the BS is starting to creep in.
Yeah. There you go. Finally, the next prison riot may be in Wisconsin, where the governor of that state wants to ban pornography from the prisons.
Yeah, hey there.
Over the objections of the American Civil Liberties Union, of course, the governor wants to do away with Playboy, Penthouse, and the naked snapshots the prisoners often keep of their spouses. This may not be...
Go! Go, Pat, go!
Yeah.
This may not be the end of the pictures with nudity in Wisconsin prisons, though. An aide to the governor says...
Go, Pat, go.
Sure.
Yeah.
An aide to the governor says the ban will not include National Geographic.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
You can still find something good in National Geographic.
That's how I got my start, looking at those pictures.
Mm-mm. Look at that. All the girls are naked.
Oh, man, he's that breath.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
We'll be back in a moment. Oh, Chuck Stossel, your love muscle, with a weekend movie review that's straight ahead.
Don and Mike.
We just came down here to get you away from that radio.
That's right, Herman. It causes nothing but trouble.
Don't worry. I'm just trying to get some music so I can relax. Will you listen to that?
Show me the Marksky on the Don and Mike Show.
Just ahead of movies with Chuck Stossel and then low-budget Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking to the dreamy Howie Long, movie star, football commentator on today's show.
He's the dreamiest.
A lot of stuff to get to today. First, this announcement. A lot of people very excited about the next event on the show, which is the Underpants Open.
Yes, the phones have been ringing.
Listen, we will dive into this subject and devote all of our attention to it starting on Monday.
Good.
But if you need the date, it's next Thursday.
Yeah.
That's the day that we're going to be having the Underpants Open with hundreds of people playing miniature golf, all of them in their underpants.
And Woody's.
Yeah, not a gag. Real name of the place.
It's the real name of the joint.
Thinking about just opening the doors and letting anybody who wants to play come in, and the lowest score for the day wins $1,000. But then we'll also have a special VIP area.
Sure.
And be giving away tickets for that special area on Monday.
Good.
So go ahead and plot it now in your day planners.
Yeah, come on out.
All of you yuppies. That'll be next Thursday. And now...
looking for love in all the wrong places.
Here he is.
Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
From the AMC chain. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's the mother chucker. Going great.
Wonderful.
Charlie?
Yes, sir.
I love Kurt Russell.
Yes, and you should.
He is one of my favorite actors and always has been. Even back when he was in Disney movies, I loved Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That movie looks great.
It is.
And that's the one I want to talk about first this week, even before the Mike Myers movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This movie that stars Kurt Russell, and is it the dad from Home Alone who's the bad guy?
No. His name is J.T. Walsh. You might know him. He was in A Few Good Men. He was the...
he's kind of killed himself,
yes,
right? Yeah, he's a... He's a character actor that's in a lot
he's
of
He's in a
movies.
Lot of stuff. He was in... he's usually in some of the Barry Levinson films, like Diner and Tin Men.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the guy who's driving the truck, right?
Yes.
It wasn't
very bad.
Wasn't he also in the Kurt Russell movie with the airplane? Didn't he play the senator on
yes.
the airplane?
Yeah, very good, Don.
The movie Executive Decision.
That's yes, right.
That's also him.
So what is the name of the new Kurt Russell movie?
Breakdown.
Breakdown. And the plot is?
The plot is Kurt Russell and his wife, played by Kathleen Quinlan, are driving from Massachusetts to...
I thought she's a vegetable.
I'm sorry?
That was Karen. It's Karen Ann.
My mistake.
Right. Oh,
you don't have many chances to use that joke.
She's an actress.
They're driving cross country to start a new life. Well, they almost get into an accident with these hillbilly redneck types in the middle of the desert, and from there they encounter these guys. And what the truck driver? What happens is their car breaks down in the middle of the desert. The truck driver, played by J.T. Walsh, the guy, the older guy,
right,
comes along, offers to help out. Kathleen Quinlan goes with him to make a phone call to get a tow truck, and from there starts a roller coaster ride that will not disappoint. This is the type of movie that you will be cheering in the theater.
Really?
I'm sitting there by myself, and I found myself laughing and clapping and going, yeah!
You know, I always ask you about the credibility of these action-adventure. A little more credibility than some of the other ones, maybe?
No, I mean, Kurt, I don't think that you can live through the gauntlet. Every time Kurt Russell turns around when he's looking for his wife, he runs into a new obstacle, and you don't know if it's a coincidence or if it's planned by these bunch of guys who, and it's no secret that they kidnapped the wife, and it's also no secret that everything turns out rosy in the end.
But you liked this movie.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Well, good. I'm a huge Kurt Russell fan. I think he's a real good actor.
He's great.
He's good at playing guys that you don't feel threatened by.
No,
guys,
normal guys.
Yeah, guys that you can really believe in the story in. And plus, you know, he's doing Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
So, that's the number one reason for you.
Yeah, that's what he really climbed to the top of my charts. So
I don't think you will be disappointed at all. I can't say enough about it. I was thoroughly surprised with how much I liked the movie.
Well, good. I'll go on your recommendation. I would have gone to see it anyway. But I'm glad you liked it. Now, what about the Mike Myers movie?
This is a good week for movies. Mike Myers, again, here is a funny, stupid movie. The movie Austin Powers. Mike Myers is a guy from the 60s who freezes himself, who gets frozen along with this guy named Dr. Evil.
I like it already.
Dr. Evil is also played by Mike Myers.
The cool thing
about Dr. Evil is, if you're a James Bond fan, he does Blofeld. With the high neck jacket and the monocle, you know, the bad guy from James Bond movie. Ernst Blofeld.
Blofeld? I don't...
He has, like, a cat, and he's bald, and he smokes a...
Hootie of the Blofeld.
a cigarette through a big, long filter.
I don't know. What
if you see it, you may recognize who the guy is, but...
Is it a takeoff of a bad guy from a James Bond movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Blofeld.
And they both get frozen and shot up in orbit. Well, Austin Powers' instructions are, you can't unfreeze me unless Dr. Evil gets unfrozen and I can come back and I'm the only one who can save the world.
That's great.
And it's campy,
right? Well, he gets unthawed in 1997, and of course he thinks it's still 1966, 68,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to live his life the way he was back then, and all the British stereotypes are in there. He says baby after everything. He thinks he's quite the ladies' man with his cool clothes. He has the worst teeth you've ever imagined.
I heard one reviewer say this makes Dumb and Dumber look like Sense and Sensibility.
It is along the same lines. It's just something that you sit back and you laugh at. It's nice to see Mike Myers come back with a Wayne's World-type movie as opposed to, I heard you talking the other day about the So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh.
Yeah. It's Mike Myers stick with this parody stuff, and he's very good at it.
Okay, and what else is new this weekend?
I think that's pretty much it.
That's it?
There's a little movie called Commandments.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned that yesterday.
With Aidan Quinn.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox.
Right. It was originally... I read about this movie. This movie was made at about the same time that Seven was really popular. They were starting to think about this movie. And what it is, it's about breaking all Ten Commandments. All Ten Commandments of thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do, blah, 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 blah.
We know them.
How many are you broken?
This guy tries to break every one of them. And how I read...
I'm shooting for all ten.
I've done it today.
Just today? Wow, show off.
Thank you. And what I originally thought this was going to be was a movie like Seven, a real psycho movie. But no, they play it out to be a comedy.
Oh,
a comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
A wacky romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a trailer for it. They're sure sending out the wrong trailers then.
Well, they're making it out to be one of these dark comedies.
Charlie, I know we've talked about this Bruce Willis movie, but I find that with all of the excitement about movies, and I'm feeling an excitement about movies like I did the summer that the first Batman movie was out.
Sure, mm-hmm. It's going to be a great summer.
Because you've got the Batman movie coming, and you've got the Jurassic Park movie, and you've got
Con Air, which is getting a great screening reaction.
Men in Black, which looks pretty good. But the movie, and I'll say it again, that really catches my eye is this Fifth Element. Now, are you sure that the movie's not good?
I went in there, and I heard all the hype of Blade Runner. And I love Blade Runner. Blade Runner is a movie that didn't do a whole lot at the box office when it was originally out, but has just gotten a great following. And everyone now has seen it, and so many people like it because at the time it was so different. I don't think this is very Blade Runner-ish. I think it's a lot more like Stargate.
That's right. That's what you said before.
The last half hour is irritating because there's a character, and it's a DJ, that is Bruce Willis's sidekick for the last half hour of the movie. And he's kind of effeminate.
Oh, really?
He runs around going, oh, my gosh, help me! And I don't need that. If Bruce Willis would have ended the movie by turning the gun on him
Pretty credible performance there, Charlie.
Thank you. It's not lifelike, trust me.
Okay.
If Bruce Willis would have shot this guy at the end of the movie, I'd give it a thumbs up.
All right, so I asked you about that last week. You didn't like it. Well,
I tell you, Mila Jovovich...
The ads still look great to me. And I guess it's next week we'll talk about this, the movie that is really looking sickening to me, the Billy Crystal Robin Williams movie.
I don't know about that. The jury's out for me on that one. It doesn't look that bad to me.
No, actually, it's gotten some very good screening reactions. And what I would expect as far as a movie and what I've heard, it's being compared to another Ivan Reitman film, Dave. Dave was a movie that I think a lot of people liked, but it's not something that you roll over busting a gut all the time. It's a nice, sweet film, and I think that's what Father's Day is being.
All I know is that, I get a feeling when you see the ads that you already know the whole movie, that you already know that Billy Crystal and Robin Williams are two nutty guys living their own life, and Billy Crystal's more grounded than Robin Williams is, and there'll be the obligatory scenes where Robin Williams can ad-lib and pretend that he's other characters.
Robin Williams so much.
Well, all right, I hate him.
You do. You can't see a movie with Robin Williams and like it.
Robin Williams, there's nothing new. Robin Williams is Mork in every movie that he does, and he gets his obligatory scene where it's like, all right, now Robin's going to vamp for us here. And then Billy Crystal, who his best stuff was City Slickers, let's face it.
I love
When Harry Met Sally.
I love Robin Williams, though, and there's so many people that love Robin Williams, and when he's doing that same thing that he does that you're talking about, he's doing 20 different things at the same time.
I can't help it that I'm more advanced, Mike. I'm sorry. you're highly evolved in all areas except when it comes to the discussion of Robin Williams.
I know. I understand this. But
it's also the concept. It's the sugary sweet concept. It reminds me of that movie they're playing all the time now on cable, Bye Bye Love.
Mm-hmm.
Another movie that...
Oh, no, this is much better.
Yeah, but it's the same. Listen, these guys, they don't really know what family life is about. And now they're going to find
what is wrong every now and then with Sugary Sweet?
God. I'm not a sugary sweet guy, Charlie.
I see.
I'm a very tangy, tart guy.
I see.
That's the type of guy I am.
Hey, you, we had that proven, actually, about 2 weeks ago.
The guy who ate
you
my booger.
Out of Don?
A guy who ate my booger said it was very, very tangy tasting.
Yum. Yum.
All right,
yum.
Well, have a great week. Listen, I guess we'll debate this movie more next week.
That's fine.
Okay.
Don't forget about our game.
I haven't forgotten about our game.
He's into that game.
Listen, Charlie, you don't want to know how into that game I am.
I'm into it, Don. No, never mind. I'm not going to get into it.
Sit down here.
I suck, Don. Just keep on thinking that. I suck. To quote Butthead, I suck more than anything has sucked before.
See, I don't know where this guy's coming from on this.
He's very belligerent.
I'm not belligerent. I'm just trash talking.
Yeah, this is a side of Charlie that we've never heard before.
See, and the thing is, Charlie, I'm all for trash talking too, but you take it to a level.
Do I really?
Yeah. Well, when you scream in your Paul Lynde-like voice, I'm going to kick your ass. unprovoked from me. When I think we'll have a funny game, I think it'd be pretty funny. Two fat guys trying to play basketball, trying to get to 21. Then you got to come on and say, "I'll kick your ass. You're nothing." Well,
Don.
You know, you take it to the next level, Charlie.
Don, I apologize. I don't mean to take it to that level.
Listen, no need to apologize.
We're going to go out and have fun.
I will tell you what I think. I think that this energy that we're hearing based on this competition with Charles Stossel is based on sexual frustration. And that is...
if he ever gets laid, he won't want to beat me in basketball.
If he was getting it on a regular basis, he wouldn't be interested in this game.
And I get it all the time because I'm married. So I'm very loose about this. And, Charlie, I am ready to take you on to the game. We have Underpants Golf next Thursday, and then I got a wide schedule.
Right, well, you know, this is going to be fun. We're going to have a fun time, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
A lot of fun, Charlie.
Okay.
Lots of fun.
Oh, God.
Yes, Don.
Bye-bye, Charlie.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Bye now. Bye now.
Take a big old bat to him right before it starts breaking. You broke his leg. Yes, I did.
It was going to be fun. Until he started his trash talking a couple of weeks ago.
He was doing some intense trash talking.
Screaming at the top of his lungs, "I'll kick your ass. I'll kick your ass. I'll kick your ass." Okay. You want to come into my house, brother? Oh, boy. And you know what I got to wear? I got to wear a hat like Allen Iverson had on his head yesterday.
What was he wearing?
A condom on his head. Is there a picture
during,
of this?
During the game?
No, he won an MVP award. I saw it on SportsCenter today. It looks like it looks like bicycle pants. He had this thing. Here he is, right here. Looks like a swimming cap.
All right.
Now, what the hell is Allen Iverson wearing on his head here? That's his mom he's kissing.
I don't know, and I don't know why.
He is winning the NBA Rookie of the Year award, and he has, I guess, either a condom or a swimming cap on his head.
I only know one thing.
That's what I'll be wearing when I play Charlie Stossel one-on-one.
We'll get you one. We will get you one.
We've got to do a break. It's the low-budget Jeff Pardee Hour, and we'll get to that right after this.
The Don and Mike Show.
The perfect man would have Bill Gates' money, Jimmy Smith's ass, Liam Neeson's shoulders, Michael Jordan's thighs.
And we need a break.
No, we don't.
Yeah, you're right. Then he'd think like a man. See, Sally, there's just no dealing with the opposite sex.
Yes. Yes, the opposite sex. I didn't do anything wrong. It's men. They're a completely opposite sex. They hunt, we gather. They sweat, we glow. They shake, we wipe. Your sexual organs are in total diametric opposition to mine.
Well, hey, so can I give you a call sometime, or...
Oh, yeah, I'll be waiting by the phone. Poisoned her.
No, now she's a buxom, leggy, pouty-lipped bitch with attitude. I think she'll do just fine.
It's the show that makes its own gravy, the Don and Mike Show.
And here we are, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. And we wish you a happy weekend, everybody. Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening in Dallas, Texas on KOOO 1190, the talk station. That's KOOO. In Hagerstown, Maryland, Hot Talk Great Sports on WARK. And thanks for listening in Syracuse, New York on Talk Radio WOLF. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Don?
Fine.
I heard you talking about Allen Iverson's hat he had on yesterday.
Yes, his condom, his head condom.
That's called a skull cap.
Well, now, I've seen skull caps before, but I have not seen skull caps of...
Did it have a little nipple on it?
Yeah.
Of that material.
And, yeah, it's like a nylon, and I told your buddy there, I'll be glad to send you one for Thursday.
Oh, I don't want to wear it at the golf tournament. I want to wear it when I beat Charlie Stossel at basketball.
Oh, great.
Well, send it right along. Is it a brand new one?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what color do you want? They come in all colors. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Get me...
Purple. Your favorite color is purple.
Either purple or squash color.
And you want the nipple on the end?
Yes, a big nipple on the end.
You can make Charlie have to suck on that after he loses.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, have a good one.
Thank you. Well, hold the line. Hey, enough talk about Charlie suckling my nipple. Let's play the game.
It's
low budget Jeff Hardy. Time to open the door and see what you like. Psychotic personality to be announced for today's big game.
The big giant head does not approve of people sucking on nipples.
All right. Hey, how you doing, Dick?
Dick, you can call me. I am not Dick. I am the new High Commander. No, I'm just kidding with you. Of course I'm Dick from Third Rock from the Sun. Hello, how are you? It's good to see you again. I'm back. It's great to be with you. Hello, 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 hello.
You're going to have to bring me up to speed, please, on your show, because your show, Third Rock from the Sun, which we used to love, and I guess we still do love, it's just it's on... against the Homer Simpson show.
Oh, don't mention the Simpsons. There's no need to mention that. You sound like Dr. Albright. You're making me very angry. Don't mention that show. We love our show. We really do. We have a fabulous show, Third Rock from the Sun. There's no threat at all. There's no threat at all from Homer and Marge and little Lisa. We don't have any problem with them whatsoever. We're doing just fine. But I heard you talking about hats with nipples.
Oh, that's
what type of hats with nipples are you talking about? And I'm wondering, before I leave, is there a chance that I could get one? Ooh, woody, 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 woo. Could you get me one, please? Just a little bitty nipple hat.
Do you see the picture of Allen Iverson? He's a basketball player. He won an award yesterday.
Oh, and look at that. He's wearing a hat with a nipple on it.
Yeah, he has a funky-looking hat on.
Well, get me one. I'd love to have one, and I'd like to tell you that we've got a big show coming up in Third Rock from the Sun. 3D, the big giant head, is getting very excited about 3D. Put on your special 3D glasses. Ooh. Very exciting. I'm very excited about it. I'm so excited. I'm beside myself.
I hate to keep bringing up the competition.
Yes.
But are you aware that...
Why are you bringing up the competition? Can I ask you that? Why? Why must you do that? Why do you have a guest come in here, sit down in the chair, and then immediately you begin to talk about all these other television shows that mean nothing to me? What means something to me is Third Rock from the Sun. I am Dick Solomon. I am the commander. I am the High Commander.
You know, Drew Carey's going to be in 3D.
Oh, Drew Carey. Let's mention everyone else. All right, why don't you say Saturday Night Live is going to be in 3D? What about me? I'm the one that wants to talk about me. Sometimes you make me as angry as Dr. Albright when she withholds sex.
Dr. Albright. Dr. Albright's sexual thoughts coursing through my mind right now. She's such a wonderful lady, and she loves me.
Right.
She loves me, and she doesn't realize that I'm just a green piece of jello.
That was going to be my next question, as a matter of fact.
Yes, your next question, please, fire away. I will answer any question you have, because I have superior intellect, because I'm an alien.
Would you please turn into a piece of jello for me now?
I can't do that. That's against the prime directive. I'm not allowed to do that. In order to do that, the big giant head would have to call down with a message to Harry, and then he'd have to tell us that we're turning back into green slimy jello, and then, of course, there'd be a national panic. People would run through the streets, and they'd say, look, all the green piles of jello. They're going to get us. They're going to kill us. Stomp it out. Stomp it out. Light the big piles of green jello on fire, and they would take their matches, and they would walk down, and they would light the green. I'm looking for the sound effect of fire, for God's sake.
Oh,
please,
right.
Get it
sorry.
For me. And they'd light
I'm
the
sorry.
Big, they'd light the big piles of green jello on fire, and
the request the sound effect in advance.
Oh, you're burning me. You're burning me, the High Commander. Dr. Help me, Dr. Albright. I'm burning. My yellowy skin is simply melting into nothing. Oh, my God.
And that's how it would go.
How does a serious actor like you end up on a goofy show like Third Rock from the Sun?
Hmm, are you talking to Lithgow now? John Lithgow.
Yes, the actor John
actor
Lithgow.
Extraordinaire. I don't know. I'll be very honest with you. I love the role. I do. I love the role because it allows me to be me. Wide open and creative, creating different scenarios each and every week. I truly enjoy being Dick Solomon, and I also enjoy being the evil Dick.
I am the new High Commander.
Did you enjoy that? I did. I thought it was wonderful. Do you like the show? Do you?
Well, as I'm... Yes,
Woody,
I'm a,
Woody, Woody, Woody. Did you like the Baby Talk episode?
I'm a big fan. However, I'm in a schedule where I watch The Simpsons and then...
The Simpsons, for God's sake, is it essential that you mention The Simpsons in every other breath? For God's sakes, man, please.
Well, listen, when the season is done...
You're killing me slowly. You're killing me softly with your song.
When they go to reruns on the, you know, the other show.
Reruns, syndication, dinero, money.
Then we'll watch Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, please, watch Third Rock from the Sun first, because it's funnier. It's a much funnier show. It's so creative. It's so out there that I think you'll enjoy it. I really do, and I think you'll love me more than anyone else on the show. But, of course, there's Sally. She's very funny.
Oh, she's hot.
She's a babe.
She's hot.
Oh, yeah?
She'll be in 3D.
What a body on her. Yeah, now, is she going to be...
Yes, she's a babalicious.
Is she going to be pushing her... her boobs at the camera in 3D?
Oh, you mean with her push-up bra?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's a push-up bra?
Yes. Yes, oh, we really? Say to Sally all the time, Sally, more cleavage, darling, more cleavage. Please, push it to the sun. You're an alien. You want to go communicate with those breasts. Prop them up and put them in a push-up bra. And she's a very good sport about all of that. And, of course, there's Harry. Harry, we've all enjoyed Harry. Those are wonderful characters. Please don't mention the S word again.
All right. Sorry.
Please, for
sorry.
Me, this gal.
You know, I would think that you would be more together about that. Your show is...
I am together. I'm the new High Commander.
Your show is critically acclaimed.
I'm together. I'm put together. I've been in... Do you remember the movie where I was a panic flyer and I looked out of the wing and there was that creature out there and I'm like... Please, please. Oh, it's going to tear my flesh off. Oh, no, it's going to tear my flesh off. Wasn't I good in that, too? I'm versatile. And then, of course, there was the movie Cliffhanger. Do you remember that when I was the evil guy?
Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, Walker, you resilient bastard. Remember that? I was an evil man now. I mean, very evil. And then there was the movie where I dueled in prison and we put telephone books around us. Remember that one?
I think sometimes my wife watches. What's that show on CBS?
Ricochet. That's the one that escaped my mind. Ricochet with Denzel Washington. I was good in that, too.
Sometimes my wife watches Touched by an Angel. That's on at the same time as your show, too.
Well, for God's sake, just simply drive me out of my mind by mentioning all of the other shows. I'm very frustrated. Ask me about me. Ask me about The World According to Garp. When this gal played the transvestite. That's the type of thing you like, isn't it? The transsexual aspect of life. Remember that when I was a New York Jets tight end and then I put on a dress and I ran around with Robin Williams? That was Lithgow. That was Lithgow, the new High Commander. At his finest. Absolutely. It's great being an actor. I could be nothing else but an actor because I am Lithgow. Me, Lithgow, kneel at my feet and enjoy my craft. I am Lithgow, the actor. Ah, that's so good. You know what I enjoy about your show?
What is that, dear?
Sex, sex, and more sex. And, of course, I love sex. I really
do.
Sex sells.
Now, am I talking to the character? Am I talking to Good Dick? Am I talking to Evil Dick? Am I talking to Lithgow?
If I knew, do you think I'd even be sitting here? I have no idea who I am or where I'm going or what's happening next. That's the first thing about being me. Where's Harry? Where's Dr. Albright? What movie is Lithgow going to do next? Oh, I'm so confused. I don't know which way I'm going to go next. What's my next role? John Lithgow, should I do TV commercials? Harry, the High Commander, is about to transmit a message through your body. I'm so confused. And then you mentioned the S word, the Simpsons. Poo, pee, pee, pa.
Don't have a cow, man.
I like having cows. Don't you understand that? That is part of my charm. I really enjoy having cows.
That is a catchphrase from the Simpsons.
As a matter of fact, right here I have my resume, the John Lithgow resume, and I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Are you ready for me to read it to you?
Go ahead, impress me.
John Lithgow, specialty, having cows on command. If you want me to have a cow, I will have a cow for you. I've been in so many things, and it's just fun for me to recline and relax and just enjoy being Lithgow.
I want to talk to Mike O'Mara for a second.
Hold on just a second. Mike,
you're tempting fate by leading back so far. On that chair.
Why, is it a dangerous chair? I understand people have had accidents on this chair, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Little boys with big bazooms have fallen down and gone boom. Absolutely.
I just don't want you to hurt yourself.
Beware.
Again.
Well, let me sit up straight like a good boy. There we go. I'll be a good boy and I'll talk baby talk. I love that episode when I said, I'm really happy with Woo. I really am happy with Woo. Ah, so what's next for me? What's next? 3D. Do you have your glasses yet?
No, I don't have them.
Oh, I'll send you some. I'll be sure to send all of you 3D glasses.
Here's a question.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Will the 3D glasses from the Drew Carey Show work on Third Rock from the Sun?
I should ask the evil Dick about that. Perhaps I won't tell you. Perhaps I'll let you stew in your own juices. Being the evil Dick. I'm not sure. I can't give you that answer, but I'll send you the ones for our show, because you won't have to worry about any other show, because ours is the funniest.
Yes.
With Harry and Sally. And what's the long-haired boy's name? It escapes me right now. I've forgotten his character's name.
I don't know. I don't
Tommy,
I watched The Simpsons.
Tommy. Oh, for God's sakes, I thought you watched our show.
This guy's a brute.
Now you're going to make me nauseous. I don't want to be nauseous. Please don't play the
Simpsons. He blows all right. He blows big time.
I need a sip of water. My God. He's playing the Simpsons. Oh, please, don't do that to me. I'm very happy with our...
You jive, turkey.
Oh, paper people, flesh and blood over here. Paper people.
What did you call them, paper people?
People. We are flesh and blood. We are wonderful. You can see us. We are green jello. So please, don't mention the S word, for God's sake, man.
Someone who's made out of jello doesn't have a lot to get on someone who's made out of paper.
At least we are real. You can reach out and touch us. We've transformed from green piles of jello that doesn't want to be burned in the terrible thing that's going to happen if people find out. We're not paper people.
We await your orders, High Commander.
Now you're playing Harry. Hello, Harry.
Await your orders, High Commander.
Oh, the High Commander's orders are going to come immediately.
We await your orders, High Commander.
Well, Harry, give me a transmission from the big giant head.
I'm a lesbian.
That's Ellen. Oh, no, you can't do that to me. That's so unfair. Yes, I know the entire world watched that show.
Now, listen, are you gay?
I'm not gay. I am a High Commander. I am not gay. How could I be gay and pursue Professor Albright at the same time? You know, we love to get into bed together.
How big is her butt?
Her butt is huge. That's the answer you're looking for, isn't it? It's huge. It's as big as an entire continent. Dr. Albright's butt, you could land jets on it. It's absolutely gigantic.
Well, thank you for being so upfront about all of this stuff here in the opening interview.
Would you like to talk to Lithgow? Would you like to talk to the High Commander? Or would you like to talk to the evil Dick?
Lithgow, please.
Hello? I'm John Lithgow. I'll be doing a TV commercial.
Evil Dick, please.
I am the new... High Commander.
Regular Dick.
Oh, Dr. Albright, I want to have sex with you.
That's my favorite of the three of you guys.
Well, that's the one you've got. It's a pleasure to be here, and you will address me as Dick Solomon, the High Commander.
We'll take the first two calls right now to play low-budget Jeopardy at 1-800-636-1067.
Just remember, even green piles of blobby jello can be fun.
Yes.
Would you identify yourself?
I am the new High Commander.
We'll be right back.
You get our national anthem?
Oh, here's your show.
I don't want to hear tapes anymore. I want to be me.
I am not.
But you.
Dick.
I am the new High Commander.
I'm your new High Commander.
There I am.
From this point forward, you will refer to me as
such.
Okay, such. Okay. Such.
Oh, Harry. Flesh and blood, not a paper person.
The only radio show bigger than Dionne Warwick's teeth. Don and Mike.
Now listen, before we play the game...
Yes, and you can call me Such.
We have a woman from Louisiana who works for an ABC TV station.
Ooh, down in the bayou, witty-watty-woo.
And she's seen the 3D episodes.
Oh, yeah. You've seen the 3D episodes and you love them, right?
Well, I work for ABC and they showed clips of three different shows.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the only show that worked was America's Funniest Home Videos.
Hang up on her right now. Hang up on her immediately.
Well,
no, Third Rock was the funniest. You're not saying the right
thing. No, it's not funny. It's pathetic. That only thing that works is America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, for God's sake, don't say pathetic in reference to my show. Why are you being so cruel to me? I'm the High Commander, and I expect to be treated with respect.
But I have good news. They said that a couple of the Drew Carey stuff worked.
Oh, the Drew Carey stuff worked. Well,
there
that's
you
great.
Go.
Every other show except mine. Let's all talk about, how about The Simpsons? Are they doing 3D, too?
Oh, I wish they would. That'd be fantastic.
I wish they would. I wish I was dead.
The sad part is, even if you have your glasses, it does not work. So if you watch, you can tell what they're trying to do 3D, but it doesn't
work. Well, just that. Just turn off your TV or turn it on and watch the paper, people.
That's true. Let's play the game now, Dick.
I don't think I can go on, but I'll make every effort to do so. Oh, Harry, help me, please. All right, this is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a government worker, yippee-yi-yo-ki-yi, from Sioux City, Iowa. Let's say hi to Shane Keith.
Hey, hey, Dick.
Your name is Shane?
Yes.
Shane, like the cowboys. Cowboys and Indians. They never cast me in a cowboy movie. Don't you think I'd look good up on a horse?
Oh, you'd be a good Indian, too.
Oh, I'd be an excellent. Ooh, Bigum Chief John Lithgow. Now entering the studios, our returning champion. His two-day total, $134. He's a construction inspector from Citrus Heights, California. Let's say hi to Joe Cuff.
Hey,
hello,
Joe.
Hello, Dick.
Joe, off the cuff, listen. Being our returning low-budget Jeb Bardi champion, how's it changed your life?
Well, with my newfound fortune, I can keep the big giant head very happy.
Ah, the big giant head. Finally, someone mentioning my show. And now entering the studio.
Hey, Joe, you ever watch The Simpsons?
Oh, The Simpsons.
All
you're
the
trying to drive me. You're burying me. Please don't do that. You're throwing dirt on my coffin. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Remember. I'll say this like the evil did.
Okay.
Remember Shane and Joe. Don't screw with LQ. And say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Evil Dick.
Oh, the Evil Dick. You will address me as such.
And hello again, Shane and Joe. Don't forget, answer the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing a clip-on tie, suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex. I'll be playing the game at Bennett's LQ Lord Quizmaster. And always call him Evil Dick or Dick Solomon or John Lithgow or the transvestite from The World According to Garth.
Or you can simply refer to me as Jello Boy.
What's the World According to Garth?
Garp, G-A-R-P, Robin Williams, and I played the Jets tight end who actually became a transvestite. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I was very good in that. I was wonderful. I was me, Lithgow, emoting, acting, out there, doing what I do best, relaxing. And then there's the relaxing Lithgow.
Be careful with the chair.
Here I am, just leaning back as far as I can.
Well, you tempt fate with that.
I love to lean, yes. I remember the story about the big-breasted boy that went boom.
Here are your categories, Shane and Joe. And they are, Ellen is gay.
That's all I've heard for 3 months. Ellen is gay. Well, whoopsie whoopsie waddy woo.
Who sings that classic rock?
Ah, classic rock headbangers. Let's get real.
Kurt Russell movies.
Oh, Kurt Russell. I wish I was in features like he was. I wish I looked like him, but I'm bald and I'm tall and I'm awkward.
Entertainment, current events.
Ah, entertainment. I'm entertaining right now. Don't you think I'm entertaining? Please don't mention The Simpsons again.
Highly entertaining.
Mwah.
States and capitals.
States and capitals. Ooh, let's put our thinking caps on, but not with the nipple heads.
So here they are again. Ellen is gay.
Ellen is gay.
Entertainment, current events.
Entertainment and current events.
Who sings the classic rock?
Who sings the classic rock?
Kurt Russell movies.
Rock.
States and capitals.
Yes.
And Shane. Shane, you are the challenger. We will start with you.
How about Kurt Russell movies for one, LQ?
This is the sequel to Escape from New York.
What is Escape from L.A.?
Yes, sir. That's right. Escape.
Escape from L.A. You've got the first dollar. Way to go, Shane. Select again. Busy, busy, booty, boo.
How about Kurt Russell movies for two, LQ?
His hit movie from last summer, based on an airplane.
What is Executive Decision?
Yes. $2 for Shane. A great start. You're out of the starting gate. Select again, please.
How about Kurt Russell movies for three, LQ?
He was 16 when he starred in this Disney flick.
I have no idea.
All right, Joe. Joe Cuff, it's your chance to steal.
I don't know.
Oh, dear.
You don't remember that classic, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes?
The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. Little boy, Kurt Russell. Look what he grew up to be. All right, Shane, you're in control.
How about entertainment current events for one, LQ?
All right, here we go. This movie star had successful heart surgery last week.
Who is Arnold Schwarzenegger?
$1 for you. Yes, another name. Mention all those big action adventure stars to make Lithgow feel inadequate. Go again, Shane.
You would have been good in Terminator.
I'd be fantastic. Sarah Connor.
Sarah
Connor. Hold on, Shane. We're rolling here. Sarah Connor, I'll be back. I'll be back. That's right. Give me your clothes. Give me your clothes or I'll reach in and rip your stomach out.
Okay, now, Shane, for two. Entertainment current events for two. Fox, sorry about this, canceled this show. Although, I bet you're happy with that.
I'm very happy. Anytime another show can get canceled, I feel wonderful. It's like a breath of spring air.
The longest running show in Fox history.
What is Martin?
Oh. Good answer, Shane. Joe, your chance to steal.
What is Married with Children?
Yeah, there you go.
$2, your first $2. You're on the board and running, Joe Cuff, returning champion. Weedy, weedy, waddy, woo.
Could I have entertainment current events for three, please?
This hunky country singer announced he's divorcing his wife.
Who is Billy Ray Cyrus?
No, and it's kind of funny because the way I understand, like, all of his songs are written about how much he loves his wife.
Shane, it's your opportunity to steal.
Who is Vince Gill?
Yes.
$3 for you. I've always fancied myself that I'd be an excellent, exquisite country star.
Oh, yes, you would.
Oh, yes. Well, howdy, partner. Let me get on my old steed. What do you think? You think I'm ready for Nashville?
Yeah, y'all come back. Yeah.
Go again, Shane.
How about States and Capitals for one, LQ?
Oh, States and Capitals. Oh, this is the much-anticipated, highly dreaded States and Capitals.
You got it.
For Uno, it's the capital of the great state of Texas.
What is Austin?
Austin, yes.
$1 for you, Shane. Doing very well, even though you expressed a bit of anxiety at the beginning of the category.
States and Capitals for two, LQ.
It's the capital of the great state of Kansas.
What is Topeka?
Topeka, yes, good guess.
Topeka! Topeka! It even rolls off the tongue. It's like a fabulous Shakespeare soliloquy. Topeka! Go ahead, Jane.
How about States and Capitals for three, LQ?
Michigan.
What is...
Oh, and that's where the express bus stops.
All right, Joe on the volcano, it's your chance to steal.
What is Marquette?
Yeah, Marquette.
Marquette.
Wisconsin.
Where were you? University was hated. My God.
Lansing. It's Lansing.
That's a terrible word. Lansing. Oh, I've got something bad on my neck. Somebody better Lansing it. All right, Shane, you're in control.
Who sings that classic rock for one, LQ?
Here you go. Something tells me this is Joe's category right here. Dire Maker.
I have no idea.
Oh! Joe, it's your chance to steal.
Can you repeat the question?
No! I love your buzzer. It's just positively dreamy.
Led Zeppelin. That's the song that goes, oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh,
oh, oh,
oh, oh,
oh, oh.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
That's another thing you could do. You'd be an excellent rock star.
A headbanger. Yes, sirree. I could be the lead singer for Aerosmith. Love in an elevator. Love in an elevator. Shane, you're in control.
Cusk rock for two, LQ.
Dream on.
Who is Aerosmith?
There you are.
$2 for you. Sorry, I mentioned that before. All right, Shane, you're still in control.
These guys need help.
Let's close out classic rock for three.
Bungle in the Jungle.
No clue.
Oh.
All right, Joe, you're not having a very good day, but try to steal, please.
A very good friend of mine, Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull, a fabulous man. All right, Shane, you're in control.
Elm is gay for one, LQ.
You know, you guys have been tiptoeing around that all game long, and now it's here.
Yes, Ellen is gay. Oh, boy, shouted from the highest mountaintop. Ellen is gay. Yes, we know, 40 million people.
I'm a lesbian.
Makes me sick to my stomach. She got such big ratings.
You guys never had ratings like that.
No, perhaps we'll have Harry come out. That's a great idea.
I'm a lesbian.
Harry, come out of the closet and scream to the world, I'm an alien and I'm gay.
She played Ellen's love interest.
Who is Laura Dern?
Laura Dern, yes.
$1 in the Ellen is gay.
I'm a lesbian.
Yes, we know you are a lesbian. Sing it again, Ellen. Sing it again.
I'm a lesbian.
You told me already. All right, go again, Shane.
Ellen is gay for two, LQ.
She's a lesbian-wesbian. For two. Where Ellen was when she told Laura Dern she was gay.
What is an airport?
Yes.
$2. Everyone knows this one. Everyone was riveted 2 inches away from...
I'm a lesbian.
Yes, we know you're a lesbian. Oh, everyone, watch, 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 watch. Bigger ratings for the Oscars. America's gone mad.
But bigger ratings than your silly 3D episode.
I understand. A silly 3D episode will hold its own quite nicely, thank you.
Go
again, Shane?
How about Ellen is gay for three, LQ?
All right, the last question on the board. The two famous lesbian singers who had cameo roles in the show.
What are the Indigo Girls?
Oh, God.
Oh, Joe, it's your chance to steal.
Who are Katie Lang and Melissa Etheridge?
Yeah.
$3 for you,
I'm
Joe.
A lesbian.
You finally get some money, and that's the end of the first round.
Yes, it is, Dick, or Evil Dick, or
Evil Dick.
John.
That's the end of the round.
Or Garp.
Garp, yes. Ooh, yes, look at me. Throw a football in.
Or
get a dress.
Ricochet, or Cliffhanger.
Ricochet, Cliffhanger, that walker, you resilient bastard.
hold the line, Joe and Shane. And when we come back from this break, we will tie up the loose ends.
And when we come back, we might have a new evil high commander.
We'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike.
I love it when you play that. That's great. More from Third Rock from the Sun, please.
All right.
Is that
I'm gay.
Oh, sorry. Ellen is gay. We know Ellen is gay. Gay.
My mistake.
I'm a lesbian.
Oh, no. You did that on purpose. You're torturing me.
Do I trust you now?
We're back with Final Low Budget Jeff Pardee.
It's on backwards in here.
Let me get Shane and Joe online. Hello, guys. Now, Evil Dick, Good Dick, John
Lithgow. I'm Evil Dick.
Evil Dick, the score, please.
The score? Why do you need the score? Why is that so important to you?
So we can finish the game.
Well, then I'll give it to you. The score is?
Give it to me, Evil Dick.
Shane has $15.
You know, I've tried to get my wife to say that for years.
The Evil Dick?
Give it to me, Evil Dick.
Ha. Joe has $5. Joe is the low one on the totem pole.
So would Joe be the one that you have the least amount of respect for?
I have no respect for either of them because I am the Evil Dick and I'm the new High Commander.
Here is your category on Final Low Budget Jeopardy, guys. And it is stars and their real names. Now, of course, with a queer name like John Lithgow, that's got to be your real name.
Queer name? How can you insult me? It's a wonderful name. Lithgow. It screams actor. Lithgow, actor. Don't you see?
Here is the answer, guys. And don't forget the form of a question. It's the real name of David Letterman's pal, Larry Bud Melman. The real name of Dave Letterman's pal, Larry Bud Melman. Remember, in the form of a question, guys, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive gifts from the Big Giant Head. The Big Giant Head cares about you, and that's why he's giving you tons and tons of fabulous gifts. What are the gifts, you ask? Well, that'll come later, but he hasn't let us know what the big gifts are. That's his prerogative. He's the Big Giant Head. Rest assured, they will let you know as soon as the next transmission comes through Harry from the Big Giant Head, because the most important thing to remember is the Big Giant Head cares about you, and that's why he was not able to let you know what the prizes are. Thank you very much, and now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Evil Dick.
Nah.
Low Budget Jeopardy.
You want him back, do you?
Who do I have now?
You got the Evil Dick. That was the other Dick song. Now I'm the Evil Dick back for the end.
Where's Lithgow, the actor?
John Lithgow is over here. I'm sitting here relaxing. I'm going to put my feet up just like I was. Did you see me in Entertainment Weekly when I was relaxing in my dressing room? Lithgow, the actor.
Want to talk to Joe first, right, Lithgow?
Joe is the low one on the totem pole. Joe is the low one on the totem pole.
Hi, Evil Dick.
I'm the Evil Dick. I'm the new High Commander.
Joe, it's the real name of David Letterman's friend, Larry Bud Melman.
I said, who is Calvin DeForest?
you know, you're so close yet.
Yes.
So far.
Yes, you're so far away, Joe. Unfortunately, that knocks you down to zero. You have no money.
Shane, you can win, Shane, if you have the correct answer.
I don't know.
Oh,
you don't know either. Well, that knocks you down to zero. Well, share the real answer with these two intellectually inferior humans.
It's Calvert DeForest, not Calvin DeForest. And if you think we're being sticklers about it, well, we are, but you wouldn't go out and buy a pair of Calvert Klein jeans.
And I only have one question.
Yes.
I wonder if there is an evil Larry Bud Melman. That's my question for me, the Evil Dick Solomon.
Well, it's the type of game that only the evil Ken Stevens could love, because we didn't give away any money today.
Yes, he is truly evil.
Joe, you do get to keep the money that you've already won, being our two-time champion. Shane, don't let the screen door hit you on the way out. Don't go away mad. Just go away. Now, here is
either Evil Dick or Dick Solomon or...
This is Dick Solomon. I would love to read this prize.
Or let's get one of those guys has your parting gifts.
That's right. Okay, boys. First of all, Joe Cuff, you get to keep your money, $134, and you get to spend it any way you like. That should make you feel good. And both of you get lovely parting gifts. Are you ready to hear what they are?
Oh, yes. Lay it on me.
First of all, you both want a pair of tickets to see Queensryche.
I don't think you say the C-H-E like that. It's Queensryche.
Oh, I can't say right?
Well, all right, if you like.
I'm Lithgow.
You're an actor.
Yes, my diction is flawless, and that's why I can say you've... Is it a sound instead of a sound?
Yes, Queensryche.
Well, let me replay it for you. You've wanted two pairs of tickets. No, one pair of tickets to see Queensryche. Tickets are currently on sale. You can order yours by calling Ticketmaster at 202-432-SEAT.
Hi, Evil Dick.
Hello, I'm a new... Hi, Commander.
But wait.
There's more.
No, I will not read it. You can't make me read
you
it.
You must.
I must.
Give it to Evil Dick. He'll read it.
Evil Dick, come in here and read this.
Gladly. You want two Simpsons CDs, one for you and one for your best friend. It features songs and sound bites from the show.
Watch
The Simpsons. Weeknights at 6 and 7 on Fox 5. It's a Simpsons double play. Two homers in one night. For me, the new high commander.
Thank you, boys, and thanks for playing the game with John Lithgow.
Oh, John Lithgow's back.
I'm back relaxing in my dressing room.
And you're an actor, aren't you?
I am an actor. That's why my name is Lithgow.
Shane and Joe, thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And John Lithgow, Evil Dick, Dick Solomon, World According to Garp, we look forward to your very scary 3D episode.
3D with 3D glasses. Make sure you tune in. It's going to be dreamy. It's going to be Harry, Sally, Tommy, and Dick. We'll all be there in 3D, glorious 3D. Don't listen to what that lady said before.
Nothing that Drew Carey's not doing.
Oh, mention all the names. That's it. Keep pouring the dirt on my casket.
Don't forget that Low Budget Jeopardy
is a production of Coron Incorporated.
Hi, Evil Dick.
And is distributed by King World. Let me say, new high commander.
Let me say goodbye to everybody first. I'd like to first say goodbye to the John Lithgow from The World According to Garp.
Oh, it's very nice. I really enjoyed this. We had a great time. I hope I can come by sometime again soon.
You're a tight end for the Jets, right?
Yes, I was a tight end from the Jets, and I actually threw passes, and then I became a transvestite.
Now, I'd like to say goodbye to Evil Dick.
Well, it's been very nice being here as your new high commander.
Could I please say goodbye to Dick Solomon?
Toodaloo, toodaloo, goodbye. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed myself. It was so much fun. Aren't you having fun? We're all having fun.
And finally, John Lithgow, the actor.
John Lithgow, the actor, relaxing in my suite. Remember, Lithgow means actor.
And don't forget all the stuff we said. We'll see you later, John.
And be sure when I'm walking out the door to check out my...
Oh, we're going to have to let him back in to finish that.
That's the first. Come back in.
That's the first on this show. Come on back in.
For God's sake, let me back
in. I'm waiting for the tape to recue. There it is.
It's so nice to be back. Could I stay for the rest of the show?
I'm a lesbian.
Oh, no, now I want to leave. I want to. All right, I said vish, and now I will say
we'll be back in uno momento with, speaking of this ass, Howie Long from Fox NFL Sunday. He's next on our celebrity phone.
The job is the Don and Mike show.
You dummy. Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal.
Why?
See that?
Well, why don't you do things right?
They're full of Ovaltine and covered in gold bond powder. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, here we are at the national show, don't you know? Don and Mike on Wacky Westwood One Entertainment at Channel Shack. Now have a great weekend in Denver, where you're listening to the show on Ralph Radio.
Ralph.
Same thought out at you in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Hot Talk KHTL. Nobody tell Howie Long we're playing Sean Cassidy here as our rejoiner music. And thank you for listening in Jacksonville, Florida, land of the real man on 106.5 WTLK Real Radio. And now, from a charity event, please welcome Howie Long.
Hi, Howie.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing, Howie?
Not bad, not bad.
You stud. You football player. You NFL chatterbox.
Movie star. Everything's going right for Howie, isn't it?
I can't seem to find a job.
How did you... Tell me something, please, Mr. Long. We're big fans of yours.
Oh, thank you.
And congratulations on winning your Emmy.
Yeah, I was shocked, to tell you the truth.
You know, Howie Long won a sports Emmy, and he won an Emmy that's normally given to a guy who covers the games. They very rarely give out an Emmy in this category to a guy who does the studio work.
Studio analyst.
Yeah, so so congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
If you would please tell us how you got that movie role with John Travolta, because you went just from being... Howie Long football player, Howie Long Fox NFL Sunday, and then all of a sudden you're in that movie Broken Arrow. How did that come about?
It's kind of an interesting story. Rupert Murdoch, I think, had called over to Fox Sports and spoke to David Hill, who's the president, now the president of the network, was the president of the sports division. And I think they were looking to fill a void of someone in the action industry in that facet of filmmaking, and he had this film called Broken Arrow coming up with Travolta and Christian Slater and directed by John Woo. And I think the thing that got me the break was obviously that Rupert had called over and said, well, we've got a guy sitting right here in the sports division who looks like, you know, maybe he could pull it off. And went in and met with John Woo, and John Woo is from Hong Kong, so his knowledge of football is zilch. I think that worked to my advantage, and went in there and read and went out and did it. Was supposed to be there for 3-4 weeks, and was lucky enough that John Woo was a fan and extended the part, so I was there for 5 months.
Did you dig it? Did you like the movie? You know, a lot of people that make the transition from television to movie making, especially if it's something like what you do, the live stuff, it can get a little crazy.
It is. It's a real slow process, and, you know, for example, I finished a film for 20th Century Fox in November called Firestorm, and it won't be out till next February.
Yeah, that's kind of a drag, isn't it, having to wait so long for stuff to get out there?
You know, when you're playing football or you're doing sports television or you guys are doing the radio, obviously you can get in your car after work, go home, and your girlfriend, your wife, your brother calls you up and say you were good, bad, or indifferent. With the movies, you don't know for, you know, a year, year and a half. And it looks like we're going to start another one next June. So.
And what type of feedback do you get from the people at Fox with the show that you guys do?
I get a ton of crap. Are you kidding me? Hey, let me tell you something about that studio. It's toned down for television.
Oh, really?
A lot of trash talk. If we were to bring a camera in and tape one of our production meetings, it would get a 46 share.
I bet you have to give Bradshaw a sedative before things, before the end of the day, huh?
I'll tell you, he's a great guy to work with because Terry is Terry. And he does his thing, and, you know, he's not trying to be something else. And he's really, you got to have your guard up, and he's after your ass pretty good.
Well, you guys got some pretty good chemistry going there, you and him and James Brown. Let me ask you something totally unrelated. Howie Long, your feelings on Ellen coming out?
I think by the time it all happened, you know, she had come out, gotten in a car, packed some bags, went on a vacation, and came back. It's been a long time, so.
Did you watch the show?
No. You know what? This is, to me, the two greatest times of the year are football season, obviously,
yes,
and the NBA playoffs, and NCAA finals.
See, I keep telling everybody we are so alike, Howie, even though we don't look anything alike. And of
course, you were torn, too. You were torn between the playoff game and watching Ellen.
I watched the Bulls. Let me ask you, did you watch the Miami-Orlando game?
Yes, I did.
Were you surprised that Orlando has come back to tie that series?
You know what? I do not pretend to be a basketball expert. I'm a big fan, and I think they're truly the greatest athletes around. Hardaway is not a one guard. He's a two guard. And he has to exemplify the same type of desire to take a game over that a Michael Jordan does, that, you know, countless other players, a Larry Bird, a Magic Johnson. And when he does that, he seems to light it up. And I think the team responds. You know?
I'm watching that game last night, and I'm surprised that Miami's not coming back to win because of Pat Riley. I'm really surprised that a Pat Riley coach team.
Well, the big turnaround in that series, in my mind, was when this kid Armstrong came in and started playing, and he plays a lot of one guard that allows Hardaway to do some of the things that he does so well. He can take it to the basket. He can hit you with the jumper. He's great in transition, especially when he's receiving a pass on the wing.
Hey, listen to this. You ought to get into a studio and do some analysis on basketball.
You know what? It's always the same story. You know, baseball players want to be football players. Oh. Football players want to be basketball players.
Disc jockeys want to be anything except disc jockeys.
Yeah.
Listen, in the West, one more basketball question. Who do you like, Utah or Los Angeles?
I think it'll be very, very interesting to see how the Lakers respond on the road because, as you know, it's the first time Utah has home court throughout. Since they've had that run. And it'll be interesting to see. You know, the Lakers haven't responded well in Portland. Utah's not a very easy place to play, especially when they've got it going. And Karl Malone is, you know, everybody's MVP is Michael Jordan, but if there's another guy that is at that level this year of carrying his team, it's Karl Malone.
I'll ask you a football question. After the draft, are there any teams that stand out in your mind that position themselves real well coming out of that draft?
I thought it was a really interesting draft because it seemed as if there were one or two, maybe three players that everybody really wanted, and there was one that everybody wanted, but there were a couple, meaning the cornerbacks, the kid from Ohio State,
Sean Springs.
Yeah, and the kid from Texas. I really think that with all that was said and done, I was surprised that Dick Vermeil was as active as he was. I like the way they handled.
I'd be surprised if Dick Vermeil is still sexually active.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that after all these years, that's so difficult to do. If he's successful now, they have some pretty good people.
What is your take on that? Because he's coming into an NFL that's totally unlike the NFL when he got burned out.
I mean, the average age of his coaching staff is, what, 85? Yeah, is that what it is?
What is your take on him and Ditka coming back?
Well, I think Ditka coming back is great for football. I really believe that. I think Mike Ditka, like him, not like him, not care.
We love him.
Is someone who generates a lot of excitement. He's very quotable. He's someone that gives the television audience, along with the people that are covering the games, a whole nother dimension of person to talk about. I like him in the NFC West. It will be really interesting. I mean, the NFC West hasn't had a coach like Ditka. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
In a long time. And I think Jimmy's a year away. I think by the time we're talking at this time next year, Jimmy will be poised to make a move. Parcells will be interesting in New York. I think that team will be better than it was last year, significantly better. I think St. Louis will be significantly better. They've done some nice things.
And the last football question, at least. What do you think about the Cowboys letting Troy Aikman work out prospective draftees? And then I think they went with the guy that he wanted as their tight end. Have you ever heard of anything like that happening before?
You know what? I have, but not at that position. Usually quarterbacks aren't as interested necessarily. Not that they're not interested. They're not willing to put in the time and the commitment it is to go into a film room and look at wide receivers on film and then decide there's two or three and go to the workout and see how he receives your ball. That guy down in Dallas obviously is one of the great ones. And I think the thing that is unique about him, more so than anyone else, is he likes to know, trust, and believe in his receivers. And you can see when he has just a Michael Irvin, he would wear out a Michael Irvin.
Yeah.
He'd throw the ball 16 times over there. Whereas he used to have Novacek as his fail-safe guy, and Novacek would draw the safety up, and that would open up the deep route for the wide receivers. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. Well, they've got a great tight end now. The kid is a good pick.
His name is LeSomething, isn't it?
He didn't just pick the guy because Troy Aikman liked him. He has a pretty good talent level. I mean, he's a big physical guy who can run and make the catch, he can block. That's something they haven't had there. It'll be interesting. And Emmett says Emmett with a chip on his shoulder, I see Emmett Smith having a big year.
Okay. Well, Howie, listen, we'll let you go. Thank you for your time, and we're big fans. We'll watch you on Fox.
Okay, guys, anytime.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Howie Long.
Yeah.
Okay, was he tired?
No.
Did he have an attitude?
No. You know, I mean, the first time we got him on, I thought there was a bit. That's him. That's the real guy, because we got the same guy that time.
Slow,
you know, he's
and
just
deliberate in the yeah. way that he speaks.
I think that's the way, you know, as far as when he's doing radio interviews or when he's talking to you, like, outside of the Fox thing.
Uh-huh.
Even when you see him on Fox, he's football is serious business. Life is serious business to the guy.
Howie Long.
Please do, because the chit-chat, a-hole. All right, well, he answered all my questions, so I was very pleased.
I liked him better this time because he did answer all the questions, and the guy can talk.
Well,
guy can talk.
Do you want to talk to Rudy?
Yeah, all right.
He's at Lenny's Bar Mitzvah.
How's Lenny's Bar Mitzvah, Rudy?
Not the Lamar guys. We're here at Fisherman's Wharf right now.
Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my God. Sure. Are you at a? Is that a specific restaurant or is that just an area?
It's a restaurant called Skolmas, which is a lot of great seafood here. So we're here. My son, who lives in San Francisco, is sitting here with Miles and myself.
And when is the Bar Mitzvah? That's for two kids, right?
A friend of mine from college named Lenny.
We know, Lenny's the guy with the fake penis. We know him.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact,
we'll never
know this, but we brought along a picture of him at the Super Bowl with that fake penis that, of course, his wife never saw.
Oh, well, the kids will love that.
Let them have I see that. Well, listen, it worked out great with Howie Long, and we will see you Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
Have a great time at the Bar Mitzvah.
Bye. Okay, guys. Thanks.
Bye. There you go. He's just that. Now, he's high-fiving the mouse right now. Hey, mouse, you're not going to believe this. I was on for, 15 seconds. I high-fived. Give me another one.
It's because I'm going to call him in the next break and interrupt his dinner. That's why I asked him what restaurant he was staying at. What restaurant he was dining at, rather, I should say. So, Rob, if you would locate that number for me, please.
Sure.
And we'll be back in a moment with news and comments.
Don and Mike.
It's been a thin slice of heaven. Bye.
Wait. You're going?
Dry your eyes. Yeah, I'm just going home, grab a shower and a shave, give the wife a little pickle tickle, and I'm on my way. I'll see you.
It's actor Frank Gorshin's favorite program.
No, it's not.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was an awful interview. He hated us.
Yeah, Frank Gorshin was no fun.
Oh, fart. Why did he hurry up and die? That'd make my weekend a good one. Buzz, has Frank Gorshin died yet?
Not that I know of, no.
Stay on top of that, please.
All right.
We'll have a news and comments in a moment, along with the toe-tapping touchstones before we get out of here. Howie Long was the guest a moment ago, and we wouldn't have had Howie Long if we didn't have our connection with Rupert Martsky.
Yes, Rudy, connected to everybody in the world of sports.
Rudy is in San Francisco for the Bar Mitzvah of Lenny's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny is a very hairy guy.
Very hairy. I think, we didn't see him shirtless, but if we did, we rest assured we thought he'd have a lot of back hair.
Eugene Levy lookalike.
Yes, very similar.
Is this guy Lenny. One of Rudy's many friends. Rudy, in his own way, has a posse. Like,
yep.
Arsenio has a posse.
Yes, he does.
Except Arsenio's posse is a lot cooler than Rudy's posse. Rudy's posse is full of guys like Lenny and Sal.
Yeah, they're all enamored of Rudy, and we're not really sure why.
And Rudy made the mistake of telling us the name of the restaurant he was at. Well,
right.
Actually, you have to speak Rudy's language.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of screwed up the name of the restaurant, but we figured out where he's at.
So now, to say thank you for getting Howie Long on the show today,
sure.
We're going to disrupt Rudy's evening. Rudy, as we mentioned before, probably high-fiving the mouse, thinking his work week is over. Oh, no.
You're not going to believe this. They didn't yell at me.
Norman speaking. May I help you?
Yes, hello. I need you to page somebody for me, please.
I can do that.
Excuse me?
I can do that.
Thank you. The name is Rudy Martsky.
Martsky?
Yes.
One moment.
Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, this is great. Listen, they got a veal chop here that is seriously bigger than your entire leg.
Mouse, get another bottle of wine.
All right, that's great. Hey, have you tried the calamari? The calamari here.
God, it's good. This is Bruce Martsky. Phyllis, let's toast the fact that Don and Mike didn't bust my balls today.
Huh? Huh?
No, no.
Hey, how about this? How about this? Why don't we get some of the linguine and get a side of zucchini?
I can't believe it. They were so mad at me last week when I couldn't get a Madras shot. They didn't even yell at me today, Mouse.
Mouse, that's a nice outfit.
God, I want you, Mouse.
Hey, don't get upset. Oh, it's a compliment. Jesus.
God, I'd like to diddle you.
Hey, let me tell you something, Mouse. Maybe it's the candlelight. Hey, will you pass the damn garlic bread, please?
Jesus.
That's about... Let me try your page again. Hold on a moment.
The name is Bruce Martsky.
Pardon me?
The name is Bruce Martsky.
One moment.
Thank you. That's his real name.
Yeah? Bruce Martsky. You know, though, we're sitting here like it's an intimate dinner with the Mouse. He's probably there with 40 people right. in a corner table.
Sure. And Lenny's pulling out his fake penis. This is this guy's... And I'll say this about all of the guys and gals in Rudy's posse.
Right.
They're all great people.
Yes, they are. They're a lot of fun.
And we enjoy partying with them every time we see them.
Oh, we do, really. And it's tremendous.
But it's almost like out of a movie. Because this guy, Lenny, who looks like Eugene Levy,
mm-hmm. right?
We meet him at this restaurant in New Orleans when we're down there to cover the Super Bowl. And he shakes out his hand to shake with you. Mm-hmm. And you realize that you've grabbed the fake penis that he's got in his hand.
Yeah, it's a laugh a minute. It really is a laugh riot.
That's pretty much, and that was the high point.
But you know something? If you're in the right mind frame, Rudy's friends are A-OK.
They're great. I've just never had to spend time with them the morning after.
I know. We're still waiting for the...
Sir?
Yes?
Hi, your page isn't being answered.
Would you try Phyllis Martsky, please?
Sure.
Hey, can you connect me to the bar? Do you have a bar area?
Yes, hold on.
I bet that's where he is.
Yeah. Of course.
Because don't forget, we're working on East Coast time.
Right.
It's only 3:30 in San Francisco. It's way too early for Rudy to be here.
You might have said that's where he's going, or do you think he was there?
I think he was there. I bet he's
there. Hey, this is Tim.
Yes, hi, Tim. This is Don and Mike. We're doing a national radio show right now. We're looking for a guy who we think is at your bar.
Okay.
Would you ask if Bruce Martsky is there?
Okay, hold on a second.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Is there anybody here named Bruce Martsky?
Bruce, it's just funny to hear him page that way.
Paging Bruce Martsky. Paging Mr. Herman. Paging Mr. Herman.
Bruce Martsky. Or Phyllis Martsky.
Not at the bar.
Oh, boy.
Not at the bar.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't there then.
I just heard a page over the restaurant, too. I don't think he's here.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, thank you for your time.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, it was sure fun recreating the intimate dinner between Rudy and the Mouse. Mouse, this is great. Have you tried the olives?
Let's go to news and comment now. Buzz, we'll split this up in a couple of breaks.
All right.
Don't worry about the time.
All right.
At 34 minutes past the hour, here now is Buzz Burbank with news.
I'm sitting on a powder keg here. This will not be Jerry Lewis's financial pleasure.
Me too. Boom.
Big story. H.O.T. Hot.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy. Today, was arrested with a transvestite prostitute.
Oh!
Actually...
Wait. Hold on.
Found with...
Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy.
Nutty Professor Eddie
Murphy? Nutty Professor, yes. He was actually not arrested. The transvestite prostitute was arrested.
Oh.
Eddie was let go.
Oh, Eddie.
Oh, my.
Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies...
Oh, God.
...say they found... Yeah, and this was his... This was the midst of his big comeback. What with the Nutty Professor movie.
Jerry Lewis, what a life. What a career. What did you think of Eddie Murphy's Nutty Professor?
It was my financial pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies say they found Eddie Murphy and the prostitute in a car early today. They say Murphy was not involved in any criminal activity.
I'm a lesbian.
Murphy not involved in any criminal activity, according to the police, so he wasn't detained.
Oh, wow.
But the transvestite was arrested. Police say they started tailing Murphy's car after he picked up the transvestite.
Now, I know we do a lot of this talk on the show, but once again, I need the primer.
A transsexual has had the operation transvestite, man dressed as a woman.
So you mean Eddie...
Right.
Was with a man and didn't know that it was a man?
Or Eddie was with a man and knew that it was a man.
No, that's impossible, Mike.
I'm simply giving you the facts.
He picked up this person in a dress in an area known for prostitution in West Hollywood, California.
Oh, Eddie.
A receptionist in Eddie Murphy's production office hung up
after saying there would be no comment.
Wouldn't you think a guy like Eddie Murphy would go to a higher class hooker?
Absolutely. You know, it's anybody that's in the limelight, any star like that. And Eddie Murphy always has a girl on his arm, it seems.
Eddie Murphy, well, he has a wife, too.
Yeah. He's got a very beautiful wife.
If I'm Eddie Murphy, I pick up the phone, I call Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you do anything, you drive around, and you pick up a guy.
Yeah, now that's of course, the big question.
Now, you know what would have been funny? Now, this would be funny in a movie, if Eddie's driving around and thinks it's a girl.
Right.
And then he reaches down between the legs and finds out it's a guy.
Oh!
Now that's funny.
Wow.
All right.
You were talking about Larry King on Monday. In fact, you were reading from his column, and one of the very first
was
lines.
He found with a transsexual?
No, not so lucky today, Don.
Oh,
but
man, I tell you, if you could switch Eddie Murphy with Larry King, life would be good.
Remember reading Larry's column on Monday, the part where he said Jekyll and Hyde, which opens tonight on Broadway, is the best musical I've ever seen? It should run forever, Larry
right.
said.
That was the quote.
Well, according to the New York Daily News, Larry's Scott nephew produced the show, which may explain why Larry feels that way.
You mean Larry's nephew, Scott?
Larry's nephew, Scott Zeiger.
Oh, you said, you said Larry's scout nephew, Scott nephew. You had it backwards.
Anyway, Barbara Walters.
I know how it bothers you when I don't gloss over your mistakes. Can we rerun that, please?
It's Larry's nephew.
Did I say Scott nephew?
I
meant to say nephew Scott Zeiger.
Let's find out.
Okay.
Ever.
Right. We are now going to an instant replay.
According to the New York Daily. That's it, right there.
Of Larry's Scott nephew produced the show.
I told you, you're fired.
Thank you. I deserve that.
Clean out your locker, Burbank.
I love when we go to the videotape.
Barbara Walters recently took some heat, remember, for promoting Sunset Boulevard, in which she had invested. So now Larry's taking some heat on this. Word is, Larry, we'll talk about this in this coming Monday's column. So you have that to look forward to.
Well, what's he going
to
say? He's going to say, you know, it had nothing to do with the fact that he's my nephew. I love the show anyway.
Thank God for the man who invented gummy bears.
And listen, I don't want to talk about my nephew. I'd like to talk about my romance with Sean Southwick.
I love long-legged women in high heels.
You were talking about Larry's love of gummy bears there.
Have you ever tried peanut butter on a bagel?
Hydrox cookies are the best. Simply the best.
You look up funny, and you get Norm Crosby.
Well, Larry loves gummy bears, and apparently so does the president of Philip Morris Tobacco, who said in a sworn deposition, and CBS has this on tape, the president of Philip Morris said tobacco is no more addictive than gummy bears are.
Oh, God, there's gummy bears. Don't give you cancer, though.
There you are.
He's standing by his story that smoking is not addictive. The National Rifle Association is having its annual convention starting today in Seattle, and the NRA is facing some tough going. Membership is down. There's a fight over leadership. In fact, more than 150 people are running for just one opening.
Hey, I got a way to take care of that fight. If they're going to fight it out for leadership, shoot it out.
A way to settle this?
Mm-hmm.
All right. More than 150 people are competing for this one opening on the board of directors. Among them, Charlton Heston and Oliver North.
Yeah, definitely shoot it out.
And, Don, you mentioned going to see the movie Anaconda. What kind of accent was that that John Voight was using in that movie, would you guess?
You know, that is an excellent question. John Voight had an accent like this. So you wonder. You wonder. Actually, sound like the Grease Man bus.
Really?
Oh, that snake has got some leaving. You want to see my anaconda? That snake wraps around your doodad. Well, he had a weird accent that I can't even duplicate here. It was
no one can duplicate it. Nobody can even identify it, including his fellow cast members.
I thought he was high.
Jennifer Lopez, well, there's a theory. Jennifer Lopez says all of the cast members were asking each other, what the hell accent is that? But as Lopez says, he's John Voight, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that with any actor, she says. She says you can't go telling them how to say their lines, or they'll just tell you to go to hell.
Yeah, go to hell. Hold on a second, Buzz.
All right.
We have to do a spot break, and we'll be back.
I have the money, and I do want to do business, but with you, I ain't doing nothing in front of this dude, because this dude is a cop. I know when I can smell a pig inside
Eddie.
The room. I used to be a Muslim,
wow.
Man, and I know that's Paul over here. And yes, Paul. It's definitely Paul. I ain't doing shit around this dude, man. You want to do business, you know where to find me.
Hey. Their cruelty and profanity amuse us all. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Eddie.
We hardly knew ye, Eddie. at least Hugh Grant was with a woman.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows when more details will surface.
At least Pee-wee was in a theater.
Well, the Eddie Murphy story is the big story. You know, we will be covering that story on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, on Monday, when we have another brand new episode of the Don and Mike program, it's going to be action-packed. Of course, we'll be all over this Eddie Murphy with a transvestite story.
Right.
We're going to start opening the phone lines to give out the invitations for our underpants open.
Yes, transvestites welcome.
Which is next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law will be coming by for an impromptu grilling.
Oh, my.
And also, my wife is bringing by my troubled dog, Brandy.
For the psychologist.
Yes, and there will be a dog psychologist who will tell me exactly what is on this dog's mind.
And who knows what condition that mind will be in after a weekend at your home, locked in the garage.
And the 1-900 medical information line and Olivet Spellman and all the stuff that we didn't get to today.
That's right.
That's all coming up on Monday. Now, Buzz.
Yes.
I want to hear the rest of your news.
Uh-huh.
But I want to go back to the Eddie Murphy story
sure.
again.
Wow. Understandably, our top story.
Because I love that art Bob story. I am amazed. What time? I got so many questions. What time was Eddie Murphy stopped with the transvestite? Do you know?
The wire copy only says early this morning, which usually means in the late night, early morning hours. That would have been between, you know, obviously midnight and 4 a.m., I guess.
But was he in West Hollywood?
West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. And how is it that the cops managed to pull him over? Was there a traffic violation?
No. As they often do, they were watching the areas where the hookers do their street walking. And they saw the hooker get into the
into car
of Eddie Murphy, followed Eddie Murphy.
They followed the John's car, and it turned out to be Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, unbelievable.
They hit the jackpot.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
I would think that Eddie could tell it was a guy.
Well, yeah, I would think that, you know, unless he was looking for a guy.
After years in Hollywood. That's the second time that you've given me that innuendo, Mike. No way.
No innuendo about it. I think
he doesn't want it in his endo. Okay? Wow.
That's, you know, really.
Now the thing
is,
not devastating, just, you know, kind of goofy.
Well, it's amazing. Well, I mean, and who knows whether he will make a statement at all or whether he will simply keep tight-lipped about
this. He can't be happy about this. As I said, this comes in the middle of his big comeback with the Nutty Professor, was the beginning of this big comeback. Dr. Doolittle is his next movie. Eddie Murphy caught with a transvestite.
You know, I was saying, who knows what damage it'll do to the career, but Dr. Doolittle and this doesn't go very well for the PR tour.
I don't know. Who knows?
I am the most romantic cat both of you know.
Mm-hmm. Could be a PR move.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
You think he did it on purpose?
Yeah, sure. It's highly calculated.
That's right. Pick up a guy with a dress on.
Okay, Buzz, let's go to the end of this. Sorry to rush you here.
That's all right. You know how you're always saying anybody can get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Who is it now?
Dolores Hope.
Hey!
Mrs. Bob Hope.
Dolores Hope.
Worth it.
Really. She joined her husband's vaudeville act in the 1930s. I guess that's her claim to show business there.
And next, they're getting matching headstones together.
And the widow of Sammy Davis Jr. is finally square with the IRS. Altaviz Davis.
Altaviz
Davis.
Altaviz, I wish you buena suerte. I've left you horribly in debt.
She's reached a settlement with the government. She won't say what'll happen to the $7 million tax bill the government said she owed. But she says Sammy was a fighter and would have wanted her to reach a settlement instead of declaring bankruptcy.
I'm a fighter, Altaviz. Fight the IRS, Altaviz.
You know, he was on Wheel of Fortune. I wanted to buy an eye.
Oh, it's an eye joke. Oh, Archie.
And I know, Don, how you love your Spice Girls. Well, and I mentioned to you before, they were originally wanted to be actresses but couldn't find work, so got into music videos instead.
Yes.
They're now making a movie, which they say will be a cross between A Hard Day's Night and Wayne's World.
I'll be there.
This Buzzcast, sponsored by Nantucket Nectars in sports.
Spike's girls are not transvestites.
Mm-hmm.
Even a blind man could tell they're real girls.
Pity this poor cigar horse. He failed before at stud. The insurance company not quite ready to pay up on his failure yet. They want him to try again.
You know, you did it again.
What?
It's this horse cigar, not the cigar horse.
Well, okay, I actually meant to say it that way.
The horse's name's Cigar.
Right.
A cigar horse.
Right.
Okay.
I got the horse right here.
poor choice of words on my part.
I guess we don't have to rerun that one.
Yeah, I heard that one, too.
And finally, a woman in Pennsylvania is trading her UPS brown for Hooters orange. Debbie Mizikowski is now a Hooters girl in Erie, Pennsylvania.
You ever think you might be dyslectic?
Like, who says it like that?
Well, Libby says it like that.
That's right.
Dyslectic. Dyslexic.
It's possible, I suppose.
Dyslexia.
That's a great Eddie Murphy movie.
Mm-hmm.
84 hours.
I'll rent that this weekend. A Pennsylvania woman now, at the age of 40, is the oldest Hooters girl in the country.
Bravo!
Yes.
Bravo.
Her resume includes construction work, competitive skiing, and she was a package loader for United Parcel Service. But
ooh, nice package.
She's not putting all of her 40-year-old eggs in the Hooters basket. She's still working part-time for UPS.
Okay.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
And there are the toe-tapping touch tones spurting out of your radio and making an oogie mess like you-know-who.
Oh, I'm going to dissect the frog.
We'll take call 100 right now. Let me give you some stuff, okay? Century caller at 1-800-636-1067. If you won't hear our voices again, have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Everybody else, we'll be right back.
The Donald and Mike Show.